much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
From Korea, Chicago, London, and Keokuk, the latest news from all parts of the world with complete reports on the top developments of the day.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Okay, how about Tuesday the 22nd at 9?
I can't make 9. How about the afternoon?
All right. 2, 3.
I can't make the 22nd. How about the 21st?
We have nothing open on the 21st.
Well, he wants me in a week.
Well, another day or two won't matter. How about the 24th?
Fine.
Go for it.
Oh, wait, no. That's my colonoscopy prep day. That's always very special.
Why don't you think about it and call me?
And now, stop where you are and take off your clothes. It's Couples Massage.
Our feature presentation.
That was an unpleasant conversation we just had there.
Come on, man. Nothing's more fun than pre-colonoscopy day. Right?
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 7th of October. It's a different way to go.
I don't.
Is that your, would you say that's your first mistake out of the gate today? Usually you wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm rushing today.
Yes, it was my first mistake.
Okay.
Kevin?
I blame Chip. I blame Chip.
Were you planning that?
I blame Chip.
Did she want that to happen?
She always has that guitar stab up.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So I just played it.
Yeah.
Assuming that somebody else in this room had done their job.
Oh, wow.
I have to say, I think Kevin may be right on this one.
Boom!
I do not believe that was Kevin's first mistake of the day, except the mistake of trusting Chip.
That's a huge mistake. I'll never do it again.
I don't have the energy to start a Fire Chip campaign, so just don't do it again, Chip, all right? Hey, remember, I've got a big show to get to, and we'll tell you all about it in a moment. But remember a couple of weeks ago, I was trying very hard to convince the K-Rock audience that they, for the most part, were wrong about spiders. And I'm actually serious about this, and it's very hurtful to me to see the way people treat spiders, because so many people just kill a spider if they see it in their house, and that's just, it's just wrong.
Killed one this morning. Back to you.
Why would you do that?
Is it my house?
The conversation we had where you know that the spider isn't going to hurt you.
The conversation that we had involved a woman's leg dying. That's the conversation we had.
That was the point, is that maybe that story that I followed, hey, don't ever kill spiders,
right,
was followed with a woman, a guy actually got bit by a spider on an airplane and almost lost his leg because it was a brown recluse.
But then it looked like a brown recluse.
It didn't look like a brown recluse.
Did.
You know it wasn't a brown recluse.
It said brown recluse on the back of it.
It did?
It's weird.
It comes with a tag?
It comes with a tag.
Crazy.
Well, I can't argue with that if it gave
Kill
it a tag.
Kill obscene.
Well, now I'm going to try to attempt to tell you that you should feel the same way about snakes. Now, I know a lot of people, creepy crawly snakes, ooh, run, but very few snakes. Look. I agree. In California, there are rattlesnakes, and they are to be noted, and they are to be made aware of, and they are to be disposed of. I had a dog who got bit by a rattlesnake once.
How do you note a rattlesnake?
Well, I'm just saying that you should know what a rattlesnake looks like. Anyone who lives in California should know what a rattlesnake looks like and should avoid the hell out of it or get it out of your house. Okay, rattlesnake's a bad deal, but the vast majority of snakes are never, ever going to hurt you. If you've got little garden snakes or something like that and you're killing them just because they're snakes, then you're a dick. Okay, that's my point.
Okay.
So having said that, Newport, Kentucky, the owner of a Northern Kentucky reptile store is recovering after police officers pried a 20-foot python off of him that was crushing the man.
Wow.
Terry Wilkins is the owner of a pet store, and he had, it doesn't say in the articles, and I read a couple of them this morning, who Melissa McElfish is. She was in the store, and he, the owner, was showing her how to clean the cage and feed the snake. Now, my guess is, just from context, pet store, maybe this is a new employee and he's trying to show her the ropes, right?
Right.
So she's watching him teach her how to feed the snake in a safe way, and she tells NBC 5 News in Kentucky, I saw the snake's head turn, and I told him, Terry, be careful, he's looking at you, and he said, it's all right.
It's all right? It's all good?
Noted. No sooner had he said that than just as quick as lightning, it turns into a horror movie in real life. The most scary thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm still in shock over it. Police Lieutenant Greg Rapberger and Sergeant Darren Amberg removed the snake from Wilkins' lifeless body from a pool of blood. I grabbed the mop and tried to hold the snake's head down, and that didn't work, Sergeant Amberg told the local news outlet. The lieutenant stepped aside and grabbed the snake by the head so we wouldn't get bit. Then the men removed the man's lifeless body from the reptile's grasp. It had wrapped around his upper torso and his head. Police Chief Tom Collins said Wilkins wasn't breathing when officers were trying to free him, but, Allie, you're going to be pleased to know, because I heard the horror in your voice, he did resume breathing on the route to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. His health appears to be improving. He is even talking and should make a full recovery. Police are working with animal control to determine if the python will need to be removed from the shop, which carries more than 100 snakes.
Wow.
This is a 125-pound, 20-foot python. That seems like...
Why do you need that?
I don't know that you need that. Look, for everything I have just said about spiders and snakes, I don't know that you need that.
I don't like spiders and snakes.
Mm-mm. Thanks, Kevin.
Go on.
If I could, I would.
Want to see if you know the rest of that sentence.
If I could, I would.
So I guess what I'm saying is if you come across a 20-foot, 125 python, maybe stay away from him, too.
I'd step
maybe
right
put him
on
in the brown recluse calendar.
Step right on that snake and kill it.
Well, that's the way you want to handle a python, man.
Yeah.
Gonna step on it. That's a bad deal, though, right?
Oh, I don't think I'm eating it. Like he was his friend. I'm giving
he was
you
his friend.
Food.
Yeah. Well, snakes are dicks.
Totally.
Right? I think that's the takeaway from this story. Yeah. At least this particular snake was a dick. You're right. There's no reason to do that, but so that happened.
I don't kill snakes. I don't know what the difference is.
Isn't that interesting?
I have no idea what the difference. Why? I just see a spider and I go, hey, dead.
Well, snakes would be messier. It's a lot
probably.
More...
Too much work?
Yeah, too much work.
Too much work.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
I don't know that I have the energy. Just don't choke me. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
So maybe this isn't exactly the most polished radio broadcast you've ever heard.
It's not polished, but it's going to be chock full of all good right. stuff. We have Daniel Cormier.
Love.
The champ.
Defended his light heavyweight championship in the UFC on Saturday night and almost died. I feel like he almost died. I feel like both guys almost died. That was rough. So we're going to talk to him on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have the Metal Militia's Brian Deegan on the program today. We have Luis Guzman on the show. Very excited about that.
Anyone watch Code Black?
I did, yes.
Super good, right?
It's really good, but my overwhelming thought was, why don't you add more space and beds and doctors?
Yes, there's 800 people in a room.
Money.
There's some. It just seems like if Code Black is when there's way too many patients for what you have for your facilities, right. So make bigger facilities.
I don't know that that's
that was my takeaway.
Okay.
I mean, they are treating patients on the floor at some point, Allie. I mean, that's how out of space
it's Code Black.
Well, that's Code Black, right? And I'm saying I don't want to be in a Code Black situation.
Yeah.
We have Bean makes his guest on the program today, and comedian Brad Williams makes a triumphant return. Why is it triumphant? I don't know. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
By the way, we announced maybe yesterday that The Cure is coming to town at the Hollywood Bowl on May 22nd. Man, that's just right around the corner, isn't it, now that we're headlong into the holidays here. Tickets go on sale Friday morning. You can win them this morning on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Your tickets to The Cure are coming up on K-Rock. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. Well, things are starting to tighten around the throat of Cosby a little bit, and I couldn't be happier.
Excellent.
Yesterday, model Chloe Goines, who accused the actor and comedian of sexual assault at the Playboy Mansion in 2008, filed a civil lawsuit yesterday in L.A. federal court. This is the woman who has been the focus of the LAPD investigation, which they have passed all their findings on to the DA. So Cosby may be facing criminal charges in this same case, but in a smart move, I think she is doubling down by filing a civil lawsuit as well. So let's put him in jail and take all his money.
Agreed.
Let's do that. In the suit, of course, she claims that Hefner introduced the two of them. Then Cosby got her a drink. We've heard this story before. sadly, almost 50 times now publicly. She blacked out and then awoke to find that her clothes had been removed. And she felt that someone had been licking her body.
Oh.
And she awoke to find Cosby biting on one of her toes as he crouched at the end of the bed.
Sounds like a horror movie.
It really does. But glad to see that the wheels of justice, though grinding slowly, are moving forward. And Dateline NBC has announced that on its Friday edition, they will be doing a joint interview with 27 of the women who have accused Bill Cosby of sexual assault. Gloria Allred, the attorney for many of them, will also be present, talking about the Jane Does who came forward in 2005, agreeing to tell their stories of being sexually assaulted by Cosby under oath anonymously. So, lots of information this week coming up about the potential punishment of Bill Cosby for his alleged crimes.
I've never seen anything like this. And reality is...
yeah.
The situation.
Ah, the situation.
It's a good point.
Speaking of the situation, what the hell's going on over here?
I don't know.
Come on, Kevin.
Wasn't me. This is beer mug.
He's not even here today. Oh. Speaking of the situation, remember his friend Vinny? Remember Vinny from...
oh, sure. Jersey Shore? Yeah.
These are the days I live for. you go through your Jersey Shores and your Kardashians and those guys, and all you can say is, I just need to be strong. I just need to hold on because eventually it's all going to come crashing down on the other side, and I will have the last laugh. And as the Jersey Shore cast, one by one, files for bankruptcy and their businesses close, it brings me great joy to find that Vinny has had to list his 2013 Lamborghini up on eBay. He can no longer afford the car. First of all, the fact that he ever could afford a Lamborghini is sort of disturbing. But I'm happy to see that he is having to sell it off. Starting bid, just a low $169,000. Vehicle's only been driven 1,900 miles.
Wow.
Auction's set to close next week, so get your bids in now if you want Vinny's Lamborghini. Try to get the smell of Snooki out of it, though. That's the only thing. You take it to a detailer and maybe, I don't know, you might swap out the upholstery. I don't know if you're ever going to get that smell out.
Do you think that what happens with a lot of those people who become famous on reality TV shows, now that they've had a taste of the good life of Hollywood, that they won't make the transition into what they really need when the show's over, which is a real job, an actual way to pay the bills?
Yeah.
And they just sit around, they try to bank on that fame and do, you know, nightclub openings for as long as they can. And then when that runs out, they literally have no income coming in.
Yes! It makes me so happy. I think all those things are true. Our friend Bob Saget in the news. Bob's headed back to Broadway. He's going to be in the Broadway show Hand to God. He'll be playing Pastor Greg in that show for the last 2 months of its run. And Bob joins the cast on November the 3rd. And then sticks around for the final show on January the 3rd in 2016. So, congratulations to Bob on Broadway.
How about that?
It's very cool. And ABC Family is changing its name starting in January. ABC Family, of course, home to one of our favorite TV shows, Baby Daddy. Let's not forget Baby Daddy.
Let's not forget Baby Daddy.
Yeah. The network is changing its name to Freeform.
Freeform.
Horrible mistake.
That's
a terrible name.
Nightmare of an idea.
Freeform.
Hey, did you guys catch that show in Freeform last night? I can't imagine myself ever saying that.
What?
Freeform.
Plus, it's already a word that has a meaning which doesn't lend itself to any kind of understanding as to what's on that channel.
Yeah, it does, Bean. It's Freeform.
So, anything goes?
That's right.
What names they turn down. Come up with Freeform.
You know why they're calling themselves Freeform?
No, why?
Because they're rebranding themselves in order to appeal to an age group known as the Becomers. Do you know the Becomers?
No, but
it's
stupid. Are they
younger than the Millennials?
They are younger than the Millennials. They're Generation Z, Bean.
Oh, I thought we already went through Z. All right.
No. Come on. They're Z.
So the Becomers are Z.
The Millennials were Y.
Okay.
The Becomers are Z.
All right.
They are the coveted 10 to 20-year-olds.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of money in that demo, but I don't know how the name Freeform helps.
Because it's going to be anything, man. It's going to be so crazy. It's going to be like, whoa, what the heck's going on here? I'm fascinated because I'm 12.
That's a bad choice.
You don't know. You don't know Freeform. I can't wait to watch everything on Freeform.
Because I am 11 years old at heart. Look, you want to appeal to 12-year-old males? Just put boobs on it.
Yeah.
Call this channel that, Boobs.
There
and
you
then,
go.
Then you just I'm going to go watch Boobs. Right?
It's a great idea,
why,
by the way.
Why don't I run show
I
business?
I don't know. You
I
should.
Have so many
you
great
should,
ideas.
Man. You come up with a lot of good ideas for shows.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, Boobs. Who wouldn't watch that?
Right? And while we're talking about boobs, Lady Gaga has no problem showing hers. She's talking to Entertainment Tonight about filming some very steamy scenarios for the upcoming American Horror Story Hotel. And she says it's no big deal when she has to do sex scenes. In fact, she likes it.
Okay.
She prefers watching herself get freaky than anyone else, she says, and it's an opportunity to be fearless. That's a nice attitude to have.
But she prefers watching herself?
Versus others, I guess.
Huh.
All right. She's like, oh, yeah, look at me. I'm fearless. It's hot. Apparently it's
okay,
working.
You were born Stephanie Jeremiah. How did you come up with Lady Gaga?
Right.
That's a good question.
Gaga's doing so well on the show. Apparently Ryan Murphy, the producer of that program, has asked her to come back for season 6. Now keep in mind, FX has not officially renewed the series for a season 6, but if it's anything like the previous seasons, it will be back, and he's given a formal invitation to Gaga to return. No word yet on whether she will or not, but
she'll be busy with her own show on Boobs by then.
Ah, Boobs. Can't wait to watch Boobs. Let me give you something, you people that are all awake right now. First of all, you have my deepest condolences. But secondly, let me make you feel a little bit better by giving you some passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Crimson Peak.
Yay!
Much like American Horror Story, this is a gothic horror film. You don't get to see these kind of movies anymore. I'm glad this genre is making a comeback. Story of a handsome, seductive stranger who sweeps a young woman off her feet and takes her to his remote estate where just bad things start to happen. Just bad horror things. Ghosts and hands, bony hands coming out of things and stuff and places. You don't want a bony hand coming at you.
You really don't.
It's never
you
a good thing.
Absolutely don't.
I kill it like a spider if I see a bony hand in my house. Yeah. Boom.
You don't just put them outside?
No.
I'm not doing any harm.
Bony hands and spiders can do you some harm, man. Here's my theory about it at my house. Anything I can kill with a paper towel, dead.
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes sense.
That gives you your snake out, Kevin.
Okay.
Because you can't really kill a snake with a paper towel.
That makes sense.
But anything I can kill with a paper towel that lives inside my house has to go. Those are the rules.
Maybe at a later time we need to talk about Bean's outrage.
How about houseflies, Bean? Do you usher houseflies out of your home?
No. Because houseflies do the world no good. They do the world no
they
good.
They do the world a ton of good.
No.
They eat carrion. They get rid of waste. They do a ton of good.
You don't need flies in your house ever.
Oh, I see. So that's where you draw the line.
Racist bastard. I see how
you are.
And
not only that, and we're going to screw up our whole clock if we keep talking about this, so we should save this for another time.
Yeah, as opposed to our clock that always just runs like a well-oiled machine.
We are usually spot on. It's true.
What caller number are you looking for Crimson Peak?
First five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get K-Rock advanced screening passes for Crimson Peak.
We'll get to it.
Damn right we will. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Amber West plays Maxine on The Carmichael Show. It's her birthday today. No age for her here. Dave, apparently.
Is she the young one, Carmichael's hot girlfriend?
I don't have an age. I don't know.
Okay.
Dave apparently is taking the shortcut now with the birthdays. I have no idea. Sean Ashmore, very talented actor. He is 36. Tim Minchin. We love Tim Minchin.
Yep. Love Tim.
Composer, comedian, musician. Brilliant guy, 40 years old today. Tom York, Radiohead singer, is 47. Tony Braxton's 48. Simon Cowell celebrates his 56th birthday. John Mellencamp, we just talked about him yesterday. He's dating Krista Brinkley these days, 64 years old.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. I don't approve. And for some reason, Dave's got Russian President Vladimir Putin on my list of celebrities. He is 63 years old. Things, I don't know what's going on in that office, but we need beer mug back stat. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the show as beat.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we are going to talk to the light heavyweight champ of the UFC, Daniel Cormier.
Right.
Very excited.
Love Rest DC. That's coming up.
No, he won.
What?
Yeah, he won.
Oh. Mm-hmm. First, though, hey, guys, I'm going to make you guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am
am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes.
It is the second most wonderful time of the year as we come dangerously close to Halloween. In fact, dangerously close to hearing this a lot. This was a great list that Entertainment Weekly put out, which is, you know, we're all in the mode of, you know, those of us who are going to Halloween parties. Hey, what am I going to be this year? And they put together a list that I thought was great because they're a pop culture magazine and they thought, hey, what are the 25 Halloween costumes you are sure to see this year? Because, you know, people love to do something that's in the news or something that's topical. The 25 Halloween costumes that you are sure to see this year. And I told you guys off air, I thought this one was a pretty easy one because a lot of, you know, topics of things that have happened in 2015 come to mind. Let's see which ones you think will be Halloween costumes.
Stop!
This is interesting.
Kevin, I think historically you get the place of honor and you
throughout
get to go
history,
first.
Kevin, you're going first.
I would say Donald Trump.
Boom! Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, yes. Now, these are not ranked these are not ranked 1 through 25,
boom!
So they're just all in a pile.
What kind of list is that?
Donald Trump, it says what you'll need is a suit, a wig, face paint consisting of melted down Crayola, macaroni and cheese crayons, and outrageous views on women and equality. You too could be Donald Trump. That is on the list. Well done, Kevin. Ralph, you're up.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner, yes, certainly excellent. On the list. What you will need is a one-piece bathing suit, and just make sure you have the thighs to pull it off, they recommend. Be Caitlyn Jenner's Vanity Fair cover, popular costume this year. Allie.
Kim Davis.
Kim Davis, be on the wrong side of history and Halloween. Yes, Kim Davis. She, of course, was the county clerk in Kentucky, would not issue the gay marriage licenses. Well done. We are 3 for 3, kids.
Mama June.
No, honey,
honey
blue on the list.
4 years ago, Kevin.
Sorry to say.
I would say Kanye West. Kanye West.
You already actually guessed. I think it's Ralph's turn now.
You can't steal Kanye West, though.
I would say Kim Kardashian.
Let me see here. No Kardashians on the list from Entertainment Weekly. Although, Ralph, I have a feeling we will see some at Halloween, but
I
they did not
pregnant
make
Kim Kardashian would have
EW's
been the way
list.
To go.
I think that's a good guess, but sorry, it's not on the list. Allie, your chance to go in the lead.
Sexy Pizza Rat.
Yes, Pizza Rat is on the list. Entertainment Weekly also says, don't go as Pizza Rat. But I'm certain that someone will.
Figures Allie makes the bad choice.
Sexy Pizza Rat. Come on.
It's so good.
That's what you're leaning toward for yourself, isn't
yes.
it?
I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Yes, Deflategate, very popular costume this year. Every bro scrambling for a last-minute costume will think he stumbled onto Halloween gold by grabbing an old Patriot shirt or crop top and a flat ball. What you'll need, a deflated football and a girlfriend who looks like Gisele Bündchen. That's how you make that costume
good
come
luck.
Alive. Deflategate. Kevin gets a point.
Oh, how about the other side of the aisle? We talked about Donald Trump. How about Hillary Clinton for the ladies?
No Hillary Clinton on the list, I'm sorry to say, Ralph.
Yukon mac and cheese, bro.
Yeah, because the list was written, yesterday.
Was it this just from yesterday?
They felt like this could be a thing.
Again, if you're just joining us, Entertainment Weekly's list of the 25 Halloween costumes you are sure to see this year. We'll go around a couple more times real quick, and then I'll tell you what we missed.
That sunfish that guy thought was a shark or a whale.
Oh, how about that?
The bro fish? The fish?
Are you looking at this kid?
It's a baby wheelchair.
Yeah, bro.
That's a good costume, by the way, Kevin.
So
I think if there's a party that you and Chip go to, you should go as the fisherman and Chip should go as the sunfish.
Oh, that's funny.
Let's see. Superheroes are huge. They loom large in our legend, right? I'd have
true,
to say.
Sure.
Let's see. Let's go with, let's have, Batman.
Batman versus Superman is on their top 25 list. With that movie coming out, and they also say, hey, literally, there's no costume on the list more easily attainable than those superhero costumes. They did make the list. Allie?
Along with that, maybe Supergirl.
No, I'm sorry.
Well,
trying.
It should be. Racist.
All right, one more time around.
My superhero stand, by the way.
Whatever.
You.
Kevin, you're up.
Samurai Cop.
Stop being bad.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I would have to say the bear that ate the kayak.
Right. Ryan. I think his name was Ryan. I believe
it was. And Allie, the final guest.
I got nothing.
All right, you're out. Yeah. Here are some of the ones that are on the list that we did not mention. Chris Pratt from Jurassic World with little raptors glued onto you in the vest.
F those people. That's dumb. Go ahead.
Dead Jon Snow from Game of Thrones, very popular. The Inside Out characters should be very popular this year. Taylor Swift and her crew from the Bad Blood movie. All you need is lingerie, a bazooka, 17 friends.
No candy.
BB-8. From the upcoming Star Wars movie.
Oh, well, Black Stormtrooper, too.
How do you dress as BB-8? How do you do that?
Just a circle and roll around.
Just get fat and run around.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. They recommend white and orange underwear and roller skates is how you put a BB-8 costume.
Look just like it. I'm not letting that person in my party.
Here's the one I can't believe Ally BK not only didn't come up with, but hasn't already got her outfit laid out in the back seat of her car. To be on Halloween, which is Cookie Lion, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
Cookie Lion, of course.
Cheetah print coat, purple feather boa, gold jewelry,
blackface.
Cookie Lion.
Right.
Yep. Well, I don't know about that.
That's always funny.
Nope.
Ariana Grande in a donut is one. All you need is a high ponytail and a donut to be Ariana Grande this year.
Isn't that too old?
I can't believe Left Shark is on the list.
No. Come on.
They do mention that it has been 8 months since Katy Perry's Left Shark, but it did make the list. Nicki Minaj from the VMAs, the Miley What's Good costume. All you need is lingerie and an anaconda. Anyway, those are some of the Joker and Harley Quinn, by the way, from Suicide Squad, Ralph, did make the list. You'd be happy to know.
Some superhero
and
stuff.
Cersei and the Shame Nun, also from Game of Thrones, made the list as well. So there you go. There's some ideas for you if you're thinking about what to do for Halloween this year. The 25 Halloween costumes you are sure to see this year. And this has been Beat Makes Us Guess.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
We are about 30 seconds away or so from joining UFC 192 champ in the light heavyweight division of the UFC, Daniel Cormier. But first, we want to throw open the phones right now for you, especially you early morning people who listen to the show every day. God bless you. Thank you for that. And you always think, man, why don't Kevin and Bean ever talk about fill in the blank? This is your opportunity to fill in that blank by giving us a call, 1-800-520-1067. It's feature call What's Good. What are you hoping people bring up today, Kevin?
Well, a lot of times they bring up TV shows we're not talking about that they like, maybe a new show nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we talked about weird, strange apps. Maybe you have some of that. Other topics mm-hmm. that we brought up that you didn't have time to get in on, you know.
Hockey comes back starting today,
Los
if
Angeles
I recall
Kings.
Correctly.
Right.
Right. Talk about that if you're excited about that. So any topic on your mind that you'd like to get on the Kevin and Bean Show, share with the audience, you can call right now, toll free, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls. First, let's talk to the champ.
I am Daniel Cormier, the UFC light heavyweight champion.
Cormier just tagged Silva with the right hand.
DC looking for the submission. Zone glove for the finish. That's it.
It is all over. Daniel Cormier, winner by submission. He defeats Dan Henderson.
Went out.
Total domination.
Choked Dan out.
And look at this. Daniel locking up at Kimura. This could be it. He's going to tap.
It is all over. Daniel Cormier. It's the new UFC light heavyweight champion.
John Jones, get your together, I'm waiting for you.
And still, the undisputed UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, Daniel DC Cormier.
What about UFC 192 and still the UFC light heavyweight champion, our friend DC on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What's up, champ?
What's going on, guys?
Daniel, when you were standing in the middle of the ring and the ref had your hand, whose hand did you think he was going to raise?
Mine. I just the problem was I didn't expect him to say Gustafson initially. I was like, what in the world is going on? I was like, they're about to get me. I was like, oh, my goodness, they are about to get me.
And you're talking about the split decision from the judges, right?
Yeah, I was like, man, I thought I was winning this fight. Like, I really did believe going into the fifth round, I was like, okay, so we're 2-2. You know, I was like, okay, we're 2-2 going into this fifth round. And I was like, I won the fifth round. You know, so I don't know what the hell these judges are looking at. But I was like, man, I was like, well, I guess maybe one of the judges actually, the guy that actually gave him the fight, I was losing 3-1 going into the fifth round. I was like, wow, this dude dominated me.
Now I know, Daniel, that it's one thing when you're in the ring and you got a lot of things to think about and you're getting hit in the face and you're getting thrown to the ground. You got a lot to keep track of. I understand how it's tough to have the perception of how it's going. But when you get home and you get a chance to watch the fight, what did you learn from seeing it in replay that you didn't know in the moment?
You know, I thought he did a good job, you know, but I actually thought Alex fought pretty well. I thought I was getting hit a little more than I was actually getting hit, because I think a lot of times I was actually evading the punches, not necessarily running away from them, but like moving, maybe slipping my head a little bit, just barely getting out of the way a lot of the shots that he was throwing at me. And I thought I was landing some pretty good shots. And then I thought some of those rounds were very close. I was like, wow, this round was a lot closer than I thought it was. But I could see where a judge could score for me. And I really have no issues with a judge scoring it for him. But I thought that I won the first round very handily. I thought I won the fifth round very handily. It was the second round that was very close, but he got those two takedowns. But I was getting right back up. Third round, I won the entire round until he kneed me.
Yeah.
And in the fourth round, I thought I won that round. I thought he won one.
Let's talk about the knee, because to me, that looked like maybe it was over.
The knee sucked. I was like, okay, that hurt. but it wasn't the knee that really got me. It was the left hook right afterwards. Yeah. It was like, that's what made me fall down. I was like, man. I always say, even when I was fighting Rumble, I was like, you know, the first punch always hurt. It sucks. But it's the follow-up shot that you got to be very wary of, because if the follow-up shot gets you, that's the one that makes you go flat.
Something I've never seen before. He would literally turn his body and look at his corner like he was trying to get clues from them. Were you aware that he was doing it? It happened about 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, he would actually look at his coaches and he would get instruction. I was like, what is this dude doing?
Right?
But you see, I was scared to charge him, because when I was doing that against Jones, Jones would look off and then he would punch me. So I was like, this dude is trying to trick me.
Oh, nice.
Now, Daniel, you picked up Gustafson. You picked him up and threw him to the ground.
Like a rag doll.
Like head first. But then it seemed like your corner was telling you for the rest of the fight, take him down, take him down. And you just, why didn't you?
I get a really bad rep for, like, they say I always wrestle guys and hold them down. In reality, I can beat Alexander Gustafson in a stand-up fight. And everybody's like, you're crazy. There's no way you would stay with Alexander Gustafson. So when we started fighting, I was like, man, this isn't going too bad. I was like, I actually can beat him in a stand-up fight. So I think maybe my, like, the promoter side of me actually took over, and I couldn't shoot. I kept punching, and it was working. So I was like, yeah, we should keep punching.
Your guys in the corner, correct me if I'm wrong, but your guys in the corner kept in between each round would say, take him down.
They were going nuts. My coaches were going absolutely nuts. They were so mad at me. I was like, guys, calm down. I'm doing fine. It's good.
At one point in the corner, you looked completely, I don't want to say dazed, but you definitely were not listening to a word they were saying.
I was looking around.
Right?
I was taking it all in. It was between the third and fourth round. I was hurt. I was like, my goodness, my leg buckled. I was like, I was walking back to the corner and my leg buckled on me. I was like, did I win the round? And Bob Cook, my coach, is always very good about being honest. And he goes, I don't know. I just don't know.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this is bad. I was like, this is bad. This is not good.
Did you break your foot at some point in the fight?
I think I did, because, Javier yelled at me to kick inside. And when I did, the dude checked it. So I'm going today to get my x-ray.
This is fascinating to hear, round by round, what it was like for you, DC. How's the knee and how's the eye today? It's a few days past the fight.
You know, I feel better. My eye is finally starting to come down. My foot is pretty jacked, but my face is starting to, the swelling is starting to come down. So it feels good, man. It feels good to stop looking like the elephant, man.
Yeah. When you get cut like that and you can feel your eye bleeding and you can feel there's something wrong with it, and you know that you can't, you don't have 20/20 vision, you can't see a certain side, do you start to panic a little?
I saw two of Alexander in the second round. I was like, this is bad.
Oh, man.
This is really bad.
This is the second of five rounds.
Dude, I could not see him. And then after the fight, I was talking to Kane, and Kane goes, when you got cut, did it get blurry? I was like, dude, it was so blurry. I was absolutely freaking. I was like, this is so bad. I cannot see this guy, man. I was like, just hit the one in the middle, I guess.
That's what I tell myself when I'm fighting drunk.
Exactly. Listen, we're almost out of time, DC, but this is such a great tradition, having you in before the fight and then having the victory lap where we get to talk to you once again, being the champ. We love having you on. So you get a few months off now, right? There's no way you fight again until what, spring of 2016?
I don't know, man. You know, Selena was just telling me that. She goes, it's all fine and dandy to hear right now that you're like, I'm going to take a break. And she goes, I'm so excited. She goes, in about 2 weeks, you'll start feeling better. And you'll be like, I can't just sit around here and not do anything. And you're going to try to fight. And I was like, you know, I think I'll be okay. I go, you know, because this year I fought Jones, Anthony Johnson, and Alexander Gustafson in 10 months. I fought 7 times in the UFC in 2 years, you know, so they've kept me busy, so I need a little break. I need a little rest.
You are not good at paying attention to other people. Right? That's what I'm learning.
All right, DC, listen, thank you for the time, champ. We love you. It's always great to have you on. I'm sure we'll do it again soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You guys are the best. My good luck charm.
Thank you, Daniel.
Bye, guys.
You can call us right now toll-free on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. It's a little feature we like to call What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, call up. So we could be down. 1-800-520-1067.
I want to start with a what sounds like, Kevin, an inspirational show business story from our man Tanner. He's on line 6. He gets us going here in Sherman Oaks.
Hey, Tanner.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's good?
Oh, my gosh. This has been the craziest year for me. I host a television show, and I was literally bartending last Friday night.
Okay. Tell us more. What kind of TV show? How did all this happen? Was it a surprise to you? Did someone just come in and see you at the bar and insist that you get on television?
Yeah. You know, it was happy hour, and then they just scooped me up and threw me on TV. No, I've been working on a little show on the internet for a couple of years. It's called Hollywood Today Live. We had a syndication test last summer, and then we did good enough to get picked up. We're on twice a day in L.A. We're nationwide. And today we've got Snooki and Matt Franco on the show. Matt Franco from America's Got Talent, and it's nuts. It's wild. It's kind of the Hollywood dream come true.
So you were the typical bartender slugging it out in Los Angeles, waiting for your big break in show business, and it finally happened.
Yeah, I was a bartender at No Bar up in North Hollywood for a couple of years, and you know, going on lots of auditions and little things like that. And
well,
then,
good for you.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It was crazy. Actually, it was my last shift bartending. So that's what's good for me.
There you go.
I've been a long-time listener, yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. I'm happy for you. Congratulations. Now that you have a TV show, your new aspiration should be to get a TV show where you don't have to talk to Snooki.
Oh, come on, guys.
Good luck with that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Omar. Line 5, please. Los Angeles, up next on What's Good.
Hey, Omar.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's good?
What's good?
I just wanted Kevin's predictions on the upcoming LA Kings season, because there was a couple of NHL guy networks last night that since we lost Voinov, since we lost Richie, that they're probably not going to go for, even though we added Lucic.
Brandon Lucic, are you kidding?
Yeah, no, that's what they were saying last night. They're just like saying, oh, yeah, Voinov is gone. And
Voinov was great, but he didn't play most of last season either.
Hello.
But, yeah, I'm saying Cup. That's my prediction.
Every other year. Look, it's what we do.
Yeah, every other year is the thing. But isn't the – look – the Kings have had such a successful last 5 years that now anything short of the Stanley Cup is a disappointing season. Even if you have a season that would have been great 5 years ago, it doesn't cut it anymore, right? You guys have been spoiled, right?
Correct, yes.
But not if the Ducks have anything to do with it.
Let me turn that microphone right off.
Thanks, Chip.
So, Kevin, your prediction today on the first day of the season.
Cup.
Win or just make it two?
How dare you,
sir? I'm just asking. I want to get you on the record on tape.
Win the cup.
All right. So now when they – save the tape, Omar. When they don't make the playoffs, I want to have this tape.
How dare you? You are a hater, sir, and I do not like you.
All right. Speaking of Kevin, let's go to Alex Valencia up next on line 3. Kevin Beans, what's good?
Hey, Alex.
Good morning, party people.
What's good?
I wanted to see if Vanilla Ice is still running around with a knife.
Oh, I hope not.
Come on now. Do we need people? This is not what this segment is about.
It
Let's check the tape and see if Vanilla Ice is still running around with a knife.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife. Everybody's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
I don't know. Vanilla Let's Ice? Find out. Let's investigate more. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole like a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you
house?
Talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of stab anybody. Screech.
You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah, that's...
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Thanks for the call, Alex. This has been What's Good.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Our friend and favorite half-sized human, Brad Williams, joins us in studio coming up just after 7 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
A&E Network has announced something scary for Halloween. A&E.
Yeah.
You know, they like their wacky television.
They like their freaks.
Mm-hmm. They're not as freaky as TLC.
No.
A&E.
That's the Freak Show Network.
Not as freaky as Freeform. That network's crazy with all this madness.
It's outrageous.
But A&E has announced they're going to kick off their Halloween season with a chilling psychological television experiment.
I'm out.
The first time ever on live television, three people will be buried alive in an effort to conquer their darkest fears. Let me tell you something. If they're afraid of being buried alive, this is a bad way for them to conquer their fears. It's a two-hour live television event in which, according to the press release, the participants will be sealed in underground coffins and closely monitored under scientific conditions as they endure a series of escalating horrors designed to test the strength of their psyches.
Wait, so it's not enough to be buried alive?
Then they're going to throw spiders
in there with them or whatever?
And they're going to release Snooki in there or something and make them just punish
crazy.
Them.
These are people who are already afraid of being in close quarters, claustrophobic people. And they bury them underground on live TV and then torture them for our entertainment.
At least we get to watch them be terrified. Mm-hmm. Yes. What the serious F is this all about?
And it's not 1 hour, it's two.
It's a 2 hour spot. You know there's going to be an hour and 45 minutes of people get really scared when they're buried alive. And
these are real coffins.
In the history of being buried alive, no one has enjoyed it. Not one person has ever said, I'd like to do it again. And then it'll be the last 15 minutes. Ah, get me out! I'm hot!
They'll just dip the guy into the coffin and then jump him right back out.
Do they win something? Is there a point?
Yeah, why do it?
There's no point.
No point. All right.
Just BS.
Excellent.
Consultants and researchers from Chapman University will be on hand.
Chapman High.
To give you a local angle. They'll be there to tell us, these people seem to be frightened. Thank you, researchers. It's dumb. Dumb, A&E. You're dumb.
I don't think it needs to be on television, but is there something legitimate, Ralph, about people who have a terrific fear of something like heights, and then they go through some sort of a program where gradually they go higher and higher and higher.
Yes,
until they
you know
realize...
what it doesn't involve? Sealing them up in a coffin and burying them underground and then introducing new terrors to them. I don't know of any successful program that is
sounds
those
like a good
protocols.
Program to me. That's solid.
I don't think it's what they're doing down at UCLA Medical Center to get you over your fears of anything.
Well, it's Chapman. What do you want?
Yeah, it's true. Nothing good ever came out of Chapman.
For sure.
That's what I know. Hey, Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
Guilty.
He is not guilty. He hasn't been charged with anything. Of course, if you saw Montage of Heck, you know that there's some new music from Kurt Cobain. Newish music that he recorded and never officially released. Well, there is a upcoming soundtrack from that film called Montage of Heck, the home recordings. And a lot of people have been talking about Kurt's demo cover of And I Love Her, which you hear a bit of in that film. It's going to be released officially tomorrow, but we've got a little taste. We've got a little preview for you if you want to hear some of Kurt Cobain's demo cover of And I Love Her. Now, Kevin, you must be torn because And I Love Her, of course, a famous Beatles song.
Right.
And yet it is Kurt Cobain. How do you rationalize those two points of view?
I basically, my mind just shuts down and I just go into a coma.
That's
I can't.
Isn't that your default position?
Then I wake up and I go,
challenged
what?
In
what
any
happened?
Way. Here's a little taste of Kurt Cobain doing And I Love Her.
Come on, how long has it been since we heard that song?
Well, that is a fresh take. I, you know, it's almost unrecognizable from the original. I think.
She gives me everything.
Say this.
Not everything needs to be released, I guess.
Right. A little tinny.
I saw the movie, and it works well in the movie.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. As sort of,
but
as
I'm
a
not
single?
Sure that that's no. needs to be
I mean,
out.
It's for historical purposes, right. I think. I don't think correct. There's anything exceptional about it.
Yeah.
But there it is. K-Rock. While we're talking weird music and weird mixes of music, you wouldn't necessarily put Kurt Cobain and a Beatles ballad together, right, in your mind?
No, no.
Would you put together Ariana Grande, or, as a good friend of mine once said, Ariana Grande?
That guy's an idiot.
Nope. His friend just shut down and went to coma.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande? Barney Fife giving us the music news. She's got a number one single in America right now.
What?
Number one single.
What does she have out?
Today, number one single right now.
What's the song?
It is on the Billboard's classical chart.
Oh, classical.
She's got a duet with Andrea Bocelli.
Wow.
Blindy.
The blind opera singer. And together, they are doing a duet on a song called Il Pio Ti Penso. Hey, you pee with the pencil. Why you no come home anymore? Your mother's so worried sick about you. You never come. I have no antipasta, a fresh meatball, and nothing from you. That's the lyrics translated into English. But it's a track on Andrea's new album, Cinema, which comes out on October the 23rd. They just released a single. It's the number one song on the classical Billboard chart. Now, I can't imagine there's much competition on the classical Billboard chart. Other than Mozart again? Really? He's been on the chart for 400 years. So any new music probably gets a bunch of attention. But here's the thing. Andrea Bocelli, one of the great singers of all time. You may not, that might not be your genre of music, but you cannot deny the guy's pipes.
He's got a great voice.
He's remarkable.
Yeah. Right.
And Ariana Grande, turns out, holds her own with this dude. It's really impressive stuff. Here's a little taste of I Più Di Penso. Come on, that's not.
Respirare senza te, senza te, senza te.
E se per caso non potessi rivedere. Zero for effort.
Come on.
Zero for style. Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
Kevin.
That was lovely.
That is beautiful. Here's the thing. I know nothing about that music. I have no no experience. I'm an idiot when it comes to classical and opera. But there are times when you listen to that stuff and you can't help but get chills. It's just very powerful in some sort of very basic way. Not you, Kevin.
No. No. Not at all.
You didn't get a little thrill hearing those harmonies and that swelling music? All right. Never mind.
I mean,
it's not easy being here, people. If you're listening at home, it's not always easy just being here, let alone working here. Just being in the room is hard sometimes. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Birthday. It's my candle blowing birthday.
All these stars were born on today, the 7th of Rocktober! Thought for sure Chip was
going
to miss that one.
Please.
Chip is strong with the force.
She is.
Amber West from the Carmichael Show is 29 years old today. All right, easy.
Good deal.
Holland Roden, Lydia on Teen Wolf, also 29. Sean Ashmore is 36. Tim Minchin, comedian and musician extraordinaire, turns 40 today. Tom York is 47. You think he has a hard time finding the candles to blow them out? Remember when Bean got in that fight with him?
That was crazy.
That was out of line.
I don't think we need to bring that up.
Tony Braxton's 48 years old. Simon Cowell is 56.
and singer John Mellencamp, formerly known as Little Johnny Cougar. He is 64 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Luis Guzman joins us next hour from CBS's Code Black. Coming up on the Kevin Meacham. Speaking of black, why is Dave so fascinated with the black Burger King burger just in time for Halloween?
You don't want to know. You do not want to know.
And also from the Metal Militia, our friend Brian Deegan back on the show. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, who's that tiny little person I see in the corner of the room? Is that funny Brad Williams who joins us?
Brad!
It's been too long, guys.
How are you? I was thinking the same thing today. Is I can't remember the last time you were on. I feel like it's been at least 2 or 3 months, right?
Oh, at least. I don't know. Was it April Foolishness? Was it that long?
No.
No. Right
don't
before
say
your
that.
Showtime special.
Oh, right.
Well, that was a year ago. So that
was before
well,
the
you been,
first
Brad?
April Foolishness.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm good, but I'm going to talk some smack to Mr. Beer Mug.
Okay,
because
this is the only day he's not here, so go ahead.
Yes, because Mr. Beer Mug talked some smack to me on Twitter about how I owe him some credits for the Survival Football League, and he won it. So he's like, yeah, you going to bring me my money tomorrow? You going to bring me my money? So I brought his money, and Beer Mug's not here.
Yeah, oh, well, you tried.
That's right. So here's what we're doing. This is a social experiment.
Okay.
I did my part. I brought the money. Mm-hmm. I left the money on Beer Mug's desk.
Okay.
There's no Post-it note. There's no bag. There's just money on his desk. If it's still there by the time he gets back, he gets the money. If it's not,
that's fair.
Someone else gets the money.
I like it.
And Chip is gone.
Fair. Chip is leaving. Right?
Is gone.
I'm not sure. I guess we didn't put any rules on it.
No, it's a social experiment.
Okay.
Well, Mug should have been here to collect his winnings if he wanted his winnings.
Yeah!
So, Brad, we got a lot to talk to you about. You've got a bunch of stuff upcoming, including, by the way, this festival show that you're doing up in Santa Barbara. This is a pretty big deal every year they do this, right?
Yeah, it's the Santa Barbara Comedy Festival. It's where I shot my special, my one-hour Showtime special, the highest-rated comedy special of this year, Fun Size. What's up? I'm returning to the scene of the crime. Got a brand-new hour of material. I wrote an hour in a year. I don't know how I did that. we'll be coming back at the Lobero Theater up there at the Santa Barbara Comedy Festival this Friday. So, yeah, take a weekend. Go to Santa Barbara.
Chip
awesome.
is fanning herself with the $30, by the way.
Yes, that is Chip's $30.
Tell
now.
Us about coming up with an hour of comedy. Some people say it's impossible. Some people say they do it all the time.
All right, I'm going to say something right now that is blasphemy in the comedy world.
All right? Blasphemy.
And that is F.U. Louis C.K. Because
wow.
Because we could have the same act for like 5 years, and then Louis C.K. comes and goes, well, I'm going to have a new act every year. Every 12 months, I'm going to have a brand new hour of material. So now all the comedy fans are like holding us to that standard. So,
really?
Yeah.
So once he decided to do it, now they expect a new hour from you?
Yeah. Like, he does it. Burr does it. I'm like, you guys realize that's like expecting every player to play like LeBron James. Because those are the top. Like, well, LeBron James splits all the defense and dunks from the free throw line.
So when you're doing your comedy, does somebody in the crowd go, heard it?
Thank God that has not happened. It's actually gone the other way, where now when shows are done, people will come up to me and go, oh, you didn't do the Afghanistan bit, or oh, you didn't do the whatever. Like, and that's actually kind of cool, because it's like they're fans of that, and then they want to hear that bit again. But I don't know, I just lived, and then all these experiences started happening to me, and it just like it filled the hour pretty quickly.
Does any of your
it's been a very dramatic year.
Does any of your hour include you periscoping from Hawaii apparently naked? I couldn't tell.
What?
It looked like you were naked. There was a periscope. You were in Hawaii.
I was naked.
He was naked.
What was that about?
That happened.
Well, why not?
That's a good question, Bean. What was that about?
You're in Hawaii. Be free, my friend.
It sounds like an alcohol-fueled decision, though, is what I guess I'm asking.
It was at about 9 a.m.
But,
right?
But you're in Hawaii, and I will say this. I took a vacation to Hawaii. I went with my family, and I went did a bunch of snorkeling, and I will say this. Sea turtles...
Yes.
Think dwarves are food.
Oh, you got attacked by a sea turtle.
I got attacked by a sea turtle.
Sweet.
Listen, when I was 7 years old, and like the thought of fighting a turtle was awesome, because I'm like, who is it going to be? Raphael? Michelangelo? Who am I going to mess up? No, sea turtles saw me in my snorkel gear and thought, like, this is a threat to my family, and just took me out.
You just look like an exceptionally large fish to that turtle.
I do. And, like, I don't know. I got a big butt. I think it kind of looks like a shell. Maybe they might take me in as one of their own.
Now, what
Apparently
do you do?
Not.
You punch a shark in the face, right? What do you do with a sea turtle?
Swim decently fast. I don't know.
Can you do that?
No. I cannot. I'm not a swimmer. I have, like, a 39-pound head and a 40-pound butt. So, like, the butt floats. The head sinks. Because that's skull.
That doesn't seem good.
No, I'm just a buoy.
Do you wear floaties? Do you put floaties on your arm or legs?
Oh, God, I wish I could get mad at you, but I did. I want to get mad. I want to be like, how dare you assume I wear... Okay, yeah, I wore floaties. Yeah, I wore floaties.
This is the voice of our friend Brad Williams, by the way. Again, he's playing the Santa Barbara Comedy Festival this Friday night. He'll be at the Libero Theater. Tickets start at just $25. Speaking of traveling,
yeah.
What did you come in here on today, Brad?
Yeah, I came in... I don't know what they're calling these things. They're calling them hoverboards. They're calling them Segways without wheels.
Without wheels?
Yeah, you're like Segways without handles.
Right.
Yeah, because they have wheels. And it's basically, I'm now riding something that Wiz Khalifa and Fetty Wap ride. So I think that's good company.
How did this idea come to you that you need to start getting around on this thing?
Listen.
That's all it takes.
I don't know if you've heard of this thing. It's called Jack Daniels. And for me, you have about a thimble of it, and then you just go on Amazon. You go, yeah.
I need that.
I need that.
Plus, you get tired because there's a lot of steps involved in every mile you walk. So if you can
cut
some of those.
I would want to get mad, but that is one of the reasons why I got the thing.
Yeah, because why not? I mean, it's a little easier than walking everywhere, right? But are you comfortable enough to take this out in public, or are you just goofing around K-Rock today?
No, I like...
You're on the street on the hoverboard.
Yeah, I live around the area of Hollywood and La Brea, and there's a CVS pharmacy there. I go to the pharmacy, like, I go do my grocery shopping on that thing. Like, I've caused two car accidents.
Sweet.
Because when people look to the side, to the sidewalk, and they see a midget on a hoverboard,
right,
they cannot get their phones out fast
that's
enough.
That's got everything. It's like, yes, yeah. I just won the lottery. Yes,
I'm breaking the internet right now. Screw Kim Kardashian's butt. This will break the internet.
Very hard to get a hang of.
Yeah.
What was the beginning like?
Oh,
a lot
they?
Of spills? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because the Segway was supposed to be like you almost couldn't tip it over.
Yeah.
Right? That was the wrap on it.
Yeah, this thing you could tip over.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
People spill on this big time.
So I was doing a set at the Laugh Factory, and that's how I got from my car to the club was on my little hoverboard.
Right.
And I'm out front of the Laugh Factory. I'm talking. And as I'm telling a story on my hoverboard, I kind of like lean too far to the left. Uh-huh. My right foot comes up, and whoo, this thing flies
out
into the middle of Sunset Boulevard. Cars are swerving to avoid
it.
And and I flew up in the air, landed on my back. It was not fun.
But did you try and play it off like I meant?
Oh yeah, totally. That was like my new Cirque du Soleil move. It's fantastic.
So probably every day that you're out on the street, 200 people throughout Southern California go home and they say to their friends, family, or roommates, "You're never going to believe what I saw today."
And then they tell them, and then their friends go, "Are you drunk?
Yeah, are you drunk? Are you high? What do you have? I want some."
Brad Williams is here on Twitter @funnybrad. BradWilliamsComedy.com. See him Friday night in Santa Barbara. He's also the co-host of the About Last Night podcast with a new episode just up from yesterday with the great Jeff Garlin. You should check out. More with Brad in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Brad Williams in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is playing in Santa Barbara this Friday night, part of the Santa Barbara Comedy Festival. He'll be at the Libero Theater at 8 on Friday night, October the 9th. About Last Night podcast, by the way, available everywhere podcasts are found. And you have a live version of that coming up this month, too, Brad. Is this new for you and Adam?
Yeah, we're going to start doing live episodes. We got one, I think it's October 20th, Tuesday, October 20th, at the Hollywood Improv. And
nice.
And tickets just went on sale for that. We're getting the lineup together right now. But based on how we've done our stand-up shows, we did a stand-up show at the Laugh Factory not too long ago, and we got Harlan Williams and Dana Carvey to come be on that show.
Okay.
So I think we can book good guests.
That's
so we're
be
good.
Fun.
Yeah. So
Improv.com. Yeah. That's going to be on the 20th of October.
Now, why are we not talking about Bean's hot wife? Because we should be talking about how hot Bean's wife is.
And how funny she is.
Yeah.
Why did that come up?
Well, because I was catching up on the podcast, and there was a Afro caller who was very enthused with Bean's wife.
Yes.
And
I think he called dibs after I died.
So, like, in 2 weeks, maybe? That's great. It's fantastic, yeah. And then Bean's hot wife is on Twitter. She's at help me, help me, help me, help me, help me.
Is that right? Wow.
She's there.
That's too bad.
So you can follow her and her tweets. And, yeah, Bean's hot wife.
It is the ultimate that guy doesn't get her. Right, like if
you guys know, I can hear you, right?
You guys know, I society was fair.
So like
that guy wouldn't be with her.
So like, did you tell her, hey, drink this? It's chocolate milk, and it turned out to be chloroform, or like what? what happened? How did that happen, B?
Look, almost any of us who end up with a wife or a girlfriend can't figure out why they would date us or date anybody for that matter. We're all lucky if a woman
says yes. But this is one
yes, you know,
where everyone else can't figure it out.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
Everybody else is looking at it going, what?
I guess it's just a mystery. I guess I just have a body part as big as your whole body. I guess that's
wow.
Hey, I don't want to ask you, and I did not know about this until I listened to your podcast this week, and that is your upcoming movie role sounds like the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah.
A dream come true for a comedian.
Yeah. I got a part in a movie coming up. It's the great, wonderful, amazingly talented Christopher Guest is making another film.
Wow.
So that's Waiting for Guffman, that's Spinal Tap, this, Mighty Wind, Best in Show. He does these improvised movies. And
how did you get in on that?
I don't know. They auditioned a part, and there was a part for a dwarf, and I went in and I read and I got to improvise and talk with Christopher Guest and
wow.
And yeah, the movie's called Mascots. It's going to be available on Netflix. And
it already sounds funny, by the way. The movie is called Mascots.
Yes. Done. And there's a and so you're going to have the normal cast of characters, but there's also some great, unbelievable guest stars, which I'm not allowed to say, but
so you've already shot it?
No, we're shooting it at the end of October.
Okay.
And, I'm going to be...
It's going to be crazy to be on a set with those people.
Yes. And just amazing improvisers. Like, I'm doing a scene with Fred Willard.
Yeah.
Fred Willard. So as long as he doesn't go back to his sex shop antics and do that, then...
Why would you say that, Brad?
Then we're good.
You already got the job. Don't lose it before you shoot the movie.
What is wrong with
Why
you?
Why would you say something so stupid?
You're saying, please cut me out of this movie.
Please fire me.
What's wrong with you?
Because I can't be controlled.
Why are you bad?
Hey, we're doing a scene, and I can't
no,
wait.
No, you and the dwarf they're hired to replace you are doing a scene.
Oh, good God. Fred,
somebody get
Dinklage
on the phone.
Seriously.
No, do not call Dinklage. Do not call Dinklage. He won
That's the bait of your existence is people who have Dinklage's number.
He won an Emmy, and at first I was kind of happy, like, all right. Dwarf wins an Emmy.
Right.
That is awesome. Then he turned around. And he had a man bun. He had one.
Yeah, he did. That's true.
He's putting that in everyone's face. Just like, you know what? I'm so popular.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw up a man bun and no one's going to care. No one's going to judge. Oh, Dinklage. I'll get you.
Let me ask you about a couple more things real quick. Brad Williams here at the Kevin and Bean Show. I didn't realize until I started reading the press on your appearance in Santa Barbara this weekend of a couple things I don't think you've ever told us before.
Okay.
True or false, you had a member of your audience one night catch on fire.
That is true.
What? How did that happen?
Cleveland Improv. There was a African American woman, and she found one of my jokes very funny, and she threw her head back to laugh. And they use actual lit candles.
Oh no!
At the Cleveland Improv, and her hair kind of dipped back, and apparently some black women use a lot of hairspray on their hair. I guess that's the rumor. And then just she lit up like Lewis Black's character in Inside Out, just. Just fire. Yeah, it was.
What did you do?
I started singing that song. I was like, fire. And then her date proceeded to stand up, get a napkin, and like basically beat her mercilessly with the napkin trying to get
trying
it
to
out.
Get the fire out.
Yeah, which ended up just... He just ended up just beating his date mercilessly. That didn't really get the fire out. That wasn't good. Yeah, so...
She was okay, though?
Yeah, she... I mean, she was... It smelled crispy.
I got to tell you, the smell of burnt hair is not something
burnt hair is tough.
You enjoy.
Yeah, so then that was going on for that the rest of the show. But
another show, she was okay. Someone had a heart attack during your set.
This is
I didn't know that story either.
It's dangerous to go to Brad Williams comedy shows.
Sounds like
you
it.
Might get lit on fire.
Very
you could
dangerous.
Have a heart attack. Yeah, all this can happen. Yeah, the person had a heart attack, and we that time I did stop the show because it was. In kind of the middle of the crowd, and you can't, like, what do you do?
Hey, what's up with that guy? Yeah. Seriously, huh? He's laying down.
Yeah. Oh, are you tired?
It's a comedy show. Get some sleep someplace else.
Can't hang? No, you can't. You can't do that. But then trying to recover once the guy's being let out, that's always
once the paramedics leave, then you've got to get the audience
what's
back.
What's the transition there?
Yeah. I just said that I'm going to – that I told him I was going to go visit him in the hospital because I was like, you know, some people bring flowers, some bring a stuffed animal. I'm going to bring a midget, and that's going to make him feel better. And, I mean, it – but you have to – that's what I love about stand-up comedy is no stuff can happen in the middle of the show that you're like, okay, that – it was unexpected. Like, I don't have a heart attack chunk. You know what I mean? I don't have a heart attack joke.
Well, maybe
just
you need to get one.
Go.
And apparently. And a hair on fire chunk.
Oh, my God.
You need both of those.
Yeah.
You got to learn from your experiences. Come on, Brad.
Apparently.
All right. Well, listen. Do you have to go, Brad? Can you stick around? Stick around because we may need your help here because the King of Mexico is driving us crazy about a thing that we need to talk about. And I think you'll like it too. Brad Williams is here. Funny Brad on Twitter. The podcast is called About Last Night, available on iTunes and everywhere you get your podcasts. So don't miss him in Santa Barbara this weekend at the Comedy Festival, Friday night at the Libero Theater. More with our guests in a moment right after this on K-Rock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It is Nope.
I'm here at live.
Come on.
Yeah.
Halloween. Sing it if you know it.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
No.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And as Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
No!
Halloween spooks and two eyeballs are the way you know that it is, in fact, the Halloween season here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Get a lot of requests for both. Brad, I enjoyed very much watching you dance to that. You were doing a little Cabbage Patch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Carlton.
Stop playing it.
Well, it's a little kind of sweet, swing-timey music.
Not good.
But the reason I bring it up is because Halloween also means something else, which is advertisers look for promotions. They look for ways to tie into this season. And there's a commercial that's running right now. Maybe you've seen this. And it's for Burger King. Are they sponsors, by the way? Did anyone check? Or?
Yeah, they have commercials. They run commercials.
They have commercials. Yeah. Right. So we love Burger King and they're
love
awesome.
Burger King.
So they have a commercial about, I think it's a very clever idea because it costs them next to nothing. It's just a little bit of food coloring, but it gets all this attention and all these people who go, ooh, I want to try that. And it's the, what are they calling it?
It's the Halloween.
Black Burger?
No, the Halloween Whopper.
The Halloween Whopper. Here's a little of their ad.
This Halloween, things will get dark. With A1 flavor baked into the bun, things will get deliciously dark at Burger King. Try the all-new Halloween Whopper, dripping with A1 sauce, right now for a limited time, only at Burger King.
So I see the ad and I thought, who's not going to Burger King already is going to race out to a restaurant because the bun is black? How effective is that promotion going to be?
What sort of simple-minded fool just hears that and just
what
goes,
kind
let's
of idiot.
Go.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, like, I've never been to Burger King before, but what? The bun is of a darker hue? Let me go check this out. Now, what sort of person does this, Kevin?
Now, before we give you that answer.
Yes.
Which is Dave, the King of Mexico. Before we give you that answer, there are a lot of rumors and a lot of posts online that say that this particular Halloween Whopper turns your poop green. Now.
Well, that should be a promotion for St. Patrick's Day then.
Now, who couldn't wait to run out and get it when he heard that? That was more important than anything else.
Well, listen, you know, It looks really cool, and I wanted to try it. But then once I heard about the side effect, I was definitely in. And Kevin, you you know this to be true. I waited till the meeting was over and then rushed out to get it.
Yeah, not an exaggeration. He did.
How is that a selling point?
I have to know, Dave. Please explain it to me. Give me the thought process where you thought black bun, yes. Ooh, poop green, even more yes. Like, why is that appealing to you to see your poop turn green?
How many times
it's funny?
Oh my! But it's funny to
who?
Who?
To me?
Who's going
to
see it besides you?
How is it funny? Tell me. Help me. Help
God,
me
I hope it's why only him that sees it.
Yeah. Why is it funny to see your poop turn green?
Because
help
it's
me understand
normally.
This.
Wow, I don't want to.
We know
it.
Normal. Yeah. We know
because it's just normal.
Right.
And when it's abnormal,
right?
Then that's funny, and you know you're okay. You know what I mean? Like it's you're not sick. You're healthy. You're okay. It's just different, and it's funny.
I would hate to see your search history for porn.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you get fascinated by this. That frightens me.
I mean, listen, the burger itself is great.
Yeah, it's a Whopper.
It's really good.
Surprisingly. When did you run out and get it?
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Okay. Yeah.
And
let's just say
what color was?
The rumors are true.
What?
All right, excuse me. I need a vomit bucket over here. By the way, is Vomit Bucket playing Coachella this year? Are they signed?
Was it worth it, Dave, when you stared down into the bowl and saw green poop? Was it worth it?
You have never seen a bigger smile on my face.
What?
Really?
Okay,
wow.
You've had sex before, right?
Yes.
Like, that's happened?
Yeah, that's fine.
Hold on. That's fine is what he said. That's all. Just fine.
So seeing that put a bigger smile on your face than sex?
Yes.
I hope your girlfriend's listening.
Wow.
I really hope your girlfriend's listening.
You've
lost
out.
Anytime, Brad.
Yes,
I can't believe
you can only have the green poop this time of year from Burger King.
Yes, yes, Allie.
Go ahead, Allie.
Allie has the I hate to ask this question.
Okay.
How green?
What, are we going to, like, have swatches like you're at Home Depot?
Well, you know how they just discovered that fluorescent turtle?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's green.
No, sir.
Wait, glowing? Like,
it's like glow and it's like
what? Did you turn off the light?
Like it's a Steve Aoki concert in your bathroom?
Pretty sweet.
It was like, you know, you lift up the toilet seat and it's like, whoa.
Why don't you just lift your phone up like you have a picture?
What do you think, Allie?
Oh, my God.
No. God, no.
Then why'd you lift your phone
up?
I was going to check something.
But you guys,
you were going to check something while we're on the air talking about this topic.
Oh, yeah. Dave,
he took a picture of it.
Oh. I had to for proof. Listen,
who has seen this picture?
No one has seen this picture.
Okay,
can we keep it that way?
Yeah, of course. No, listen,
all right, I want to see it.
When I first heard about it, you know, I tweeted it out. I said, "All right, look, I have to try this." And there's so many people invested in my adventure, and I'm happy to say that it was a success.
So many people invested.
What people woke up going, well, we have conflicts in Syria,
but I'm going to think about what's going on with Dave's poop.
People posted on Instagram, posted on Facebook. All the comments and questions were, is it true?
Okay.
Yes, it's true.
All
and
right.
Then everyone's like, we need to try this.
Okay.
So
are you going to post that picture?
I would never post that picture.
So it's already up?
No, I would never post that picture. But if anyone is interested, I will gladly send it to you privately at your own, you know.
I'm going to recommend not sending that picture to listeners.
Hit you up and you'll send them a picture
of that?
I would not do that.
Let me see.
Do you have a picture of it?
Huh?
You have a picture?
Yeah.
Is it there?
It's right here.
Let me see.
Oh, God.
Oh, Kevin, you don't want to look at
Kevin.
Kevin
is looking
doing?
At
Kevin's,
dumb.
Like, running to see it.
How dare you?
On?
Why do you want to see that?
I don't know. I don't buy it.
Why? Seriously?
Is this like when guys are like, oh, my God, this is the worst smelling thing in the world, and then the friend's like, oh, let me smell it?
Yeah,
is it just curiosity?
All right, Kevin. You ready, Kevin?
I'm ready.
He's now videoing him.
Curiosity.
Why is he doing this?
Holy crap! No, green crap.
Wow. Wow. I work here.
You killed him. You killed Kevin.
He pooped an H.
Back on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:55.
One of those actors that is just great in everything. He makes every single project better. An actor's actor. Am I right about Luis Guzman?
Thank you, sir.
I'm talking about Luis Guzman. He's going to be joining us coming up just every... Isn't he just one of those guys, if he's in it, you go, wow, that's worth checking out.
Yeah, whatever.
He's in Narcos. He's in Code Black.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. We were very happy to welcome Mr. Guzman back to the Kevin and Bean Show coming up in minutes. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
So maybe he was talking about me. I just...
He wasn't.
Well, I mean, you too, obviously. After Samurai Cop 2 comes out,
right?
Everybody's going to realize
that.
Do you like what you see? I could have done that. That's part of having...
I could have done that.
Matt Caritas on yesterday's Star of Samurai Cop 2. Was exposing Allie to the original Samurai Cop. I don't believe she had ever heard any of it before.
That's correct.
And watching her face as we played that clip from the OG Samurai Cop was pretty special.
Yeah. It's a real treat.
I take a real joy out of introducing people to that film. It's always nice to see their reaction.
Do you like what you see?
Yeah.
I love what I see.
Mm. Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to me?
Bingo.
Pretty long pause there, by the way. Pretty long pause.
Yeah, at least it's all shot in a wide two, grabbed in the hallway of some urgent care center in Reseda illegally.
It's the best! That's a scene from Code Black?
No, that is from Samurai Cop.
Right, sorry.
And this weekend, of course, Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance, the sequel. At the NoHo. Lemley. Just trying to get in the spirit of Samurai Cop taking exceedingly long pauses in between words.
Chet Hayes is in the news. You know Chet Hayes, a.k.a. Chester Hanks. He's the talented kid from Tom Hanks, right?
He is the 25-year-old son of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson that they really don't deserve. This kid has just been a problem for these two lovely, talented, and by all accounts, sweetest, kindest people in the world. But, you know, he was a rapper, and then he was a racist or something.
Right. A lot of N-words.
A lot of N-words being dropped, and he defended his youth, then he disappeared.
He's got problems.
And now he has revealed that he was off using and selling cocaine professionally before seeking help. Apparently now he is now in a treatment center trying to get help, and... Tom Hanks, as always, just says the right thing. He says, look, as a parent, you love your kids unconditionally, and we vow to support him in every step of the way. So I hope he does straighten his life out. But,
well, maybe Tom Hanks should spend a little less time in Russia negotiating with the communists and a little more time taking care of his own business here at home. You ever think about that?
A movie called Bridges of Spies.
Just
saying. It's not real life. From great parents to not so great, Chelsea O'Donnell is speaking out. You may remember the name. She was the 18-year-old daughter of Rosie O'Donnell who ran away from home. And Rosie O'Donnell was out there saying, she's got mental illness. It's such a tragedy. She's just helped me. She's just troubled child. Well, Chelsea is on her own now, giving a tele-interview saying, it was a rough time being her daughter.
Oh.
She says the... public image of Rosie O'Donnell, the queen of nice persona she's created, versus the real...
Wait, hold
decades
on.
Decades ago.
But that's what Rosie's still riding on.
Is she?
Yeah. Versus what she was like at home, like two different people, she said. Hmm. Oh, can you imagine? She said she never had any decent food growing up. Family ate a lot of pizza and Chinese takeout. She said.
That sounds pretty good.
Well, yeah. I'm going to eat like Kevin. She said, Mom pretty much kicked her out of the house the week before her 18th birthday. When she went public and said she had run away, she kicked her out of the house.
Kicked her out.
And she said, Mom spends most of her time drinking wine, painting arts and crafts while blasting Madonna and Eminem tunes and smoking weed.
Well, same.
Once again, sounds like Kevin. It's like Chelsea O'Donnell was raised by Kevin, really.
And by the way, if this is the woman that that we allow to adopt like 20 kids.
Right. So she was sent away to boarding school 2,000 miles from home when she was 13. She got the sense because her mom just didn't want to deal with a teenager. And so there's a lot of bad blood there. So maybe the one-sided image that we got at the time was that she was a troubled child who ran away may not be the whole truth.
Yeah. She just had enough of that nonsense.
That's what I think, maybe. She
sounds
said,
like,
look,
yeah.
I'm 18. I just got to get the hell out. And Lily Allen is back. Remember Lily Allen? I loved Lily Allen.
Me too.
She's adorable and cute and talented and great voice. Haven't heard from her in a while, but she has two new songs on the soundtrack to the movie Pan.
which opens up on Friday. This, of course, the prequel to the story of Peter Pan and the Lost Boys, Captain Hook, Blackbeard. There's a ballad on the soundtrack called Something's Not Right that Lily performs. And also a more upbeat tune called Little Soldier, which is the anthem of the Lost Boys in the film. Both of these songs were written for Lily by Tim Rice Oxley of the band Keen, another band that I love. Here's a little taste of some new Lily Allen song, Little Soldier. Oh, makes me want to find my beach.
Makes me want to find my beach.
I don't get it.
Have you seen those Corona commercials? Right? Find your beach. Yeah.
Why did they mix it so that you can't hear her?
I don't know. I think because it is a soundtrack, it's probably played over or under some footage, you know, in the film.
You can barely hear what she's saying.
I know. There's other parts of the song where you can hear a little more clearly, but maybe I should be more specific about what clips I ask for. It's just me.
You have to tell Omar that you want one where we can hear her.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Amber West. Amber West. Amber West.
That song is about Adam West.
Amber West. Amber West.
About
a little bit lower now.
That's Adam West.
Amber West.
Adam.
What?
That's Adam West.
Oh, sorry. I see A. West. I assume. She's 29 years old today. She's in the Carmichael Show. Holland Roden from Teen Wolf, 29 as well. Sean Ashmore, very talented actor, 36 years old today. He has an equally talented and equally busy twin brother named Aaron Ashmore, whose name is not on this list.
Well,
I think some people are too busy taking pictures of their poop and not enough time spent on the research for the showbiz birthday list that they're supposed to hand in every
day. Not my fault.
That's all I'm thinking. So now I have to get emails and tweets from angry Aaron Ashmore fans. And you know, he was also born today. How about that? And then what am I supposed to do? Say, oh, talk to Green Poo? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
I think so,
pass the buck?
I think that's what you do.
Comedian Tim Minchin's 40 years old today. Tom York is 47. Tony Braxton, 48. Simon Cowell celebrates his 56th birthday today. John Mellencamp is 64. And Russian President Vladimir Putin made the list.
Oh.
So at least of all the celebrities born today, Putin's on the list. Putin on the list.
Put it in file.
It's my favorite taco song. Putin's on the list. He's 63 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, the happiest words you ever hear all year long are hockey is back.
Yes.
And tonight is the night. Los Angeles Kings play tonight. Chip, your Ducks play what, Friday night? I want to say.
Doesn't matter.
And
Saturday.
You got a little head start like you do every fall in Las Vegas over the weekend. You went out for the Frozen Fury, which you always love and look forward to that.
Right.
And as I understand, you had, even for Las Vegas and even for Kevin, you had an unusual series of circumstances.
Well, it was weird. I was playing in a poker tournament for Luke Robitaille's charity, which is Echoes of Hope. I think the website is echoesofhope.org if you want to look it up. It's really a great thing. So we're playing in the poker tournament and they take a break. It's a 15-minute break. So we all go to the restroom and I've had a drink.
Okay.
Or two.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to the bathroom and I'm thinking, oh, I got to get back. And I turn around and there's an old guy, I would guess 70 plus.
Oh.
Standing not at the urinal, but at the sink.
Mm-hmm. Not peeing in the sink.
No.
Okay.
But he does have it out. Penis.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you for the clarification on that.
And he's got a paper towel, which he is drying it with.
What?
Yes.
Is it like resting on the sink?
No, I mean,
okay. I'm just trying to
resting on the ground.
I'm not sure why.
What?
Did he throw it back over his shoulder?
What's happening?
I don't know what was happening because I looked at it and then I thought, how much have I had to drink? No, it hasn't been that much. Why would somebody? So my assumption was he used the restroom and then he walked over to the sink like that and then took out a paper towel and then was drying things.
Okay.
Now,
why would that have happened?
I'm trying to figure out how
it would have gotten so wet that it needed to be dried.
That's part of my question. But then, so I was sitting there trying to take it in, and then I realized, okay, just
all right,
wait.
Wow.
You're trying to take it in?
I didn't mean it that way.
I was trying to figure out what was going on, and then I realized there's a guy drying his wiener in front of the sink, and I'm just sitting there staring at him. So at that point, before I could come up with an answer or say anything, I just left because I was like, okay, this is weird. I'm going to go, and I left.
Well, first of all,
I had to get back to the tournament.
As you so often think, this is no way to live a life, first
right.
of all, with what you're doing on a Saturday night in Las Vegas.
You're
looking at a 75-year-old in his penis. But I have two thoughts.
All right.
If you have to guess.
All right.
Two thoughts. One is, older gentleman, did he slip and fall forward into the urinal maybe and splashed or caused a little bit? I mean, it's sad, but maybe that's what happened.
I don't know. I wasn't there for the prequel. All I saw was the drying.
And the other thing is, what if he just nailed a cocktail waitress? And he was just cleaning up.
Ew. Oh my God!
Well, no, I'm just look. There is an answer. I don't know if that's it. I'm just spitballing here. What if that was what it is? Is it was just a little personal hygiene?
But you don't eat. Let's say that happens. Let's say that you nail a cocktail waitress. You don't walk into the men's room. It was a pretty big men's room with a lot of people, and whip it out at the sink and. And take
well,
care
I mean,
you don't do that.
If you're cleaning up, though, that's where you have to go to clean up is the sink.
In a stall,
right?
Maybe? I don't know. You don't really do it for all to see. I'm telling you, you don't do it for all to see.
Did he use
soap? You got to go back and you got to find that guy. And you got to say, sir, I know this is a weird question.
This is a long shot.
I was here 2 weeks ago, and it's really been bugging me. Kevin, I'm sorry to say, you've got to go back to Las Vegas, man.
Will do. I know people that are from Maine. I have friends in New England. Hey,
come
everybody.
On,
I know.
I believe my exact words
my parents
were,
I like,
oh, you live in Vermont. That's living
Vermont.
My dream.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
And then you guys make up this whole backstory.
Oh, yeah,
which
we
is delightful.
It
delightful.
Yeah.
Luis Guzman
steps into the Kevin Amin Show. He has returned. We are very excited to welcome the co-star of Code Black on CBS Wednesday nights at 10 and, of course, the Netflix series Narcos. We will talk about both of those. But first, Luis, how are you, man? Good to see you.
I'm good. Good to be back. Good to be hanging with you guys.
We remembered, I hate to even bring it up again because Ali's already ruined it, but remember that you live in Vermont, which has just got to be a dream come true. It must be so nice for you, as busy as you are, when you get a chance to be back home and just be a regular dude.
Yeah, well, you know, I unfortunately missed the foliage this year, which, you know, that's always something really good to be glaring at, right?
Yeah, I don't know
Perfect.
What that is.
Please.
Living here.
That's
no, I know. I'm saying it's pretty much they're always the same here.
We just thought you didn't know the word.
Yet. No.
That's what I thought.
So has 2015 been an unusually busy year for you work-wise, or does it just seem like that to us because a bunch of stuff that you did has all appeared on screens at the same time?
Let's just say it's what I do. It's a blessing, man. I mean, I get these wonderful projects till I did Narcos. I did a pilot with Cameron Crowe called Roadies for Showtime. I'm on Code Black right now. I did Key and Peele's first movie. I just did a movie with Adam Sandler and David Spade and stuff.
You're never going to go back home again.
You know what?
Let's let him go back to Vermont.
I was thinking about that.
So, do you have a process in your head when you get a script and you go, man, I really want to do this. I like these guys. I like this project. But then again, I don't want to work all the time always. I'd like to have some time off. Is it a tough decision for you to make, or are you pretty much – it's easy for you. If it's right, it's right.
It's never easy because, you know, you really want to pick and choose your projects and make sure you're doing good quality work. What I always look into is the material.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when I read Code Black, when I read the pilot script, I was pretty blown away by it. I got to tell you, Code Black, it's the hardest job I've ever
Is that right?
had. Because it's not just about memorizing dialogue. You know, it's like you have to really commit yourself to the profession, the medical profession. You know, I play a senior ER nurse. I've learned that it's nurses that run trauma centers.
Absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. the ER. I coined this medical NASCAR, you know, because
I like it.
It's like when a patient comes in from an ambulance, it's like they're coming into a medical pit of people who's going to hook them up and see what's going on. So, you know, you got to learn all these procedures, all these terminologies. You got to learn how to put on a BP cup, a blood pressure cup, you know.
You have to tell us, man.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We're all about that.
Okay.
BP, BC, BF, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. But, you know, it's amazing in the sense that it's like this is the first time in my career that I feel like I'm not showing up to a TV or movie set. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm showing up to do a shift.
Wow.
Tell people what Code Black refers to.
Code Black is when an emergency room trauma center, when it exceeds its capacity to help people. In other words, there are 300 people waiting and there's 60 medical staff. And in Code Black, you get to the most severe of those people.
And sometimes there's not rooms for them. You're doing procedures in the hallway.
Yeah. You're doing procedures in the hallways or on the floor, or there's not enough gurneys and you got to lay someone down in the linen closet of the hospital or, you know, it's full battle stations, man. It's like the real front lines. This really does happen. You know?
Yeah. That's what's scary.
It's based on a real hospital, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's inspired by L.A. County Hospital. And
we had your co-star, Marsha Gay Harden, on the show with us last week, and we really enjoyed her. And this was before the show had aired, and she's like telling us all about the show. And we thought, wow, it really sounds good. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not sure that I need another medical show, you know, all these years of ER and Grey's Anatomy and all these other shows. But you know what? I love Marsha and I love Luis. I'm going to check it out. The pilot last week's episode just blew me away, Luis. I couldn't believe how many storylines you had, how many medical emergencies you had, how creative they were in solving those. I mean, if it's any indication of what real-life emergency room doctors and nurses do, those people are effing heroes.
Oh, yeah. I applaud them. I have incredible respect for them. You know, it's not till you really go into those trenches, and we all been to emergency rooms at one time or another. But it's when you're part of saving somebody's life and that whole process that you go through. It's just amazing. Those people are amazing. I applaud.
And staying
them.
Cool under that kind of pressure that is every minute is literally life or death. I don't know how a human ever prepares for that.
Well, you know, it's controlled chaos, man. It's controlled chaos. It's funny because we were shooting a scene last week and I had some lines and the director goes, "Hey man, wouldn't you be coming in all stressed out, you know, to announce what's coming in?" And I look at the director and said, "Dude, I've been at the character. I've been doing this for 23 years. You know, my job is to get the room ready for these people to come in,
right?
And to do our job, to save that life. You know, my job is not to come in and say, oh, my God, oh, no, no, no. You know, that's not it. That's really...
You don't need to create panic.
No. I mean, you do panic. You do panic because if all of a sudden you're treating someone and everything is going normal and all of a sudden their blood pressure starts tanking and stuff like that or the oxygen level goes really low and stuff and you just can't figure it out and you're trying to figure it out. You know, one of the things you learn when you do these kind of shows is... Half of the stuff that goes on in an emergency room is improvised by doctors and nurses.
Yeah, I don't want to know that.
Oh, no, I mean, that's the reality.
That's amazing.
Hey, put this tube in this kid's lung, Kevin. Go.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Luis, what is it like logistically for you and the other actors to be on top of one another? I mean, it looks like every scene in the pilot of Code Black where you guys are working in the emergency room looks like an overstuffed elevator. And you're trying to kind of reach all over each other and do everything. It just seems like that would be incredibly difficult logistically to film.
Well, we do have an incredible film crew and incredible DP. You know what? That's the reality of what goes on. You find ways to work around each other. The last thing we want to hear from someone is like, oh, you mind stepping back so I can get through? It's like, you know what? Fight your way through. Get there.
Have you ever knocked anyone over? Just flat run right over them?
I knock people accident. Over, and once in a while I go off script and I start yelling at people. You know? I start, not yelling, but barking and stuff. But, you know, that's really what creates that atmosphere of reality of... And that's what we want to be able to project, you know. It's not a clean, sterile place, man. It's a place that lies.
Yeah, they mop up a lot of blood on that episode last week. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but you know that really happens. I mean, we have med techs, we have actual doctors consulting us, and I'll go up to them and say, "Dude, did that look real?" And said, "Man, that looked real. That's really how it goes down and stuff."
Code Black is one of the smash hits of the new fall season. Almost 12 million people last week saw Code Black. It's Wednesday nights at 10 on CBS. It's a terrific new show. Luis Guzman is here. He plays the head nurse in the ER there named Jesse Salander. More with our guest right after this, including Narcos Talk, in a moment here on K-Rock. Luis Guzman in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. One of the finest actors in the world, keeping busy with Code Black, Wednesday nights at 10 on CBS, and the Netflix series Narcos, which we hear about from our listeners all the time, Luis. Everybody's always saying, "Oh man, why aren't you guys talking more about Narcos?" Tell folks who maybe haven't heard about it yet what the deal is.
Well, Narcos, it's about the drug cartels from back in the late 80s, early 90s in Colombia. But it's not so much about just the cartel, the Medellin cartel. It's also about, you know, the CIA, the FBI, you know, the U.S. government, Colombian government. It's a whole mixture of what went down and how it went down.
And the rise of Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
And I found it fascinating the way that they had to track people and the way that they couldn't listen in on phone calls and stuff. It seems like it was completely different then. They didn't have any of the tools they have today.
No, they didn't. Actually... Some of the tools that they have today came out of that whole operation that went on down there. And, you know, it at that time, you know, it wasn't perfected. The technology was not
Couldn't
perfect,
trace a call to a know? Location or anything like that.
But, you know, at the same time, I got to say, like the Narcos, like, you know, these guys were not sophisticated guys. They were not businessmen, you know. They were not, you know, highly educated people. I mean, this is something that they stumbled across. And, you know, I feel that in the series Narcos, they did a really great job of conveying to an audience, okay, look, this is how this all started, and this is how it took off, and this is, you know, the demise. So pretty much the Narcos led to their own demise because it's like, hey, man, you get $30 million a day in cash coming in.
That's crazy.
I think it's time to retire, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
You can't wrap your head around that. I mean, $30 million a day coming in. Like, that would be a full-time job just trying to figure out what to do with it, where to store that much money, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. When they figured out that they couldn't deposit that much money into banks, so they started to try to make these safe houses. And then when they ran out of safe houses to build, then they started burying the money. And then when they ran out of that, then they just started giving the money away.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what it's like, Allie, when you have so much cash, you can't put it anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm loaded.
We do that all the time in Vermont and Maine.
We do it.
It's like, hey, let's start a fire. Can you get me that box of $1 million bills over there, please?
Your character, Jose Rodriguez Gacha, is he based on a real person?
Oh, it's all based... All Narcos is based on reality, man. This is not stuff that's made up. You know, Gacha was one of those guys that was under the radar. I got to say, he was probably the meanest of them all.
I was going to say, he was more cruel than Pablo Escobar.
Yeah. Well, you know, the big difference between my character and Pablo's, number one, Gacha had more money than Pablo.
He did.
And he was a little more powerful than Pablo, like a lot. But he was under the radar. The reason people knew Pablo Escobar was because he pretty much put himself out in the public. You know, he ran for public office. You know, he built roads, he built hospitals, he built schools, he built homes in his home. You know, I mean, he was that Robin Hood drug dealer.
Yeah. Was that cockiness though that prompted him to make himself a public figure, even though he was known as such an evil criminal?
Was that a weakness that he insisted on being trying to be respected as well as being feared?
I wouldn't call it like cockiness. Again, these were not people that were sophisticated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He put himself out there.
Right. He wanted to be the president of Colombia. He wanted to be the president.
He wanted
right?
to be the president of Colombia. And you got to understand, back in those days, I mean, there was so much going on in Colombia and, you know, civil war and stuff like that. Anything was possible.
Yeah.
You know? But again, you know, everybody met their demise. And I think that, I don't know if you guys know this, but Narcos is the highest rated show on Netflix.
I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It was really well done. Again, we had...
You feel good about hurting Arrested Development with that statement?
Arrested Development?
I'm just saying.
Well, I'll tell you what. Narcos will play Arrested Development in a softball game anytime. And I promise to leave my bazooka home.
Tell me... Kevin pointed out how cruel Gotcha is, the character that you play. Is that an easy place for you to go as an actor, Luis?
It's a very easy place. You know, I'll tell you why it's a very easy place. It's one of those characters that nobody can say no to. And when you know that as an actor, when you know that when you walk into the room as that character and you command that kind of power, you know, you just pretty much throw it away. You know, it's like... If you look at me the wrong way, if you ask me the wrong question, or if you give me the wrong answer, I'm very capable of sending you on an extended vacation.
Yeah. I feel like that's the same as your character on Code Black, by the way.
Mama.
No. Ask Mama the wrong question.
Well,
they're going down.
I tell you that. The difference between Gotcha and Mama is like two different universes, period. I mean, you know, Mama could be a little bit of hard ass, you know?
You do have that persona that just... demands respect, though, on both.
Well, you know, as Mama,
mm-hmm, both
on Cold Black, you know, I'm also there to be nurturing. Mm-hmm. I'm also there to teach. I'm also there to challenge you. You know, and in Gotcha, I'm just there to take you off the map. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you know, one powerful over the other, but I got. I'm incredibly blessed to be doing roles like that, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. And so much fun as an actor.
And they're both good shows. You know, we shot Narcos in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
We actually filmed in some of the real places.
What is it like in Colombia now? You shot in some of the real places, Pablo Escobar's mansions or something?
It's much better. I mean, you know, my God, Bogota, Colombia was known as the kidnap murder capital of the world till like 10 years ago.
Right.
And it's gotten better. You still got to watch yourself because stuff.
Can you still get a decent line of cocaine down there, though?
That I couldn't tell you.
Okay. All right.
That I couldn't. Bad question. Good answer. but
what were the people in Colombia like when they found out the story you were telling?
Oh.
Were they fine?
They were pretty cool. They were pretty amused. Like they were like, "Oh, you're Gotcha." Oh, excuse me. Is there anything I can do for you right now?
Like, you can park anywhere you wanted in that town.
Yeah, man. Say, what? No parking, senor? Give me a second. You know, but people were very, we were very well received down there. I'll tell you, man, I love Colombia, man. I love salsa dancing, and man, we did plenty of that down there. And it's a beautiful country, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful people there.
All right, let me ask you one more question with the great Luis Guzman here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and maybe this is above your pay grade because I know you're an actor, and I may be asking you a political question. But is there a way that these drug cartels could be brought down, or are they just going to exist forever because they are so powerful and so entrenched in so many of these Latin American countries?
Well, I gotta say that they can be brought down. And you don't have to send in a whole military unit and stuff. I think, you know, look, in this country, you know, little by little, they're legalizing marijuana, you know. I've never known anybody to overdose on marijuana.
Same.
But I do know people have wrecked their lives driving under the influence of alcohol. I know people have overdosed on heroin, cocaine that's destroyed lives and stuff. You know, sometimes you gotta wonder, the reason that they don't take down these cartels is because these drugs also feed the economy. You know, and it's a shame. You know, it's like Friday night, and I got to get my hair done. I got to get a new pair of shoes. You know, and we got to go buy an 8-ball, and then we go out to the club, and I got to order 2 or 3 drinks, and that's all economy driven. Unfortunately, the way to take down some of this stuff is, the reality is, we're gonna have to make a hard choice. Like, do we legalize it? Do we create revenue doing this stuff? Because, you know, it's all a business. People go into rehab, that's a business, you know. But does it really, is it really a remedy? No, it's not a remedy. And like I said, sometimes not that you got to play the game, it's just you got to play your cards right, and you can't politicize this and stuff, because it's like, you know what, more people in America are dying from overdosing on prescription drugs than illegal drugs. You know? I mean, these are things that we really, truly have to look at. You know?
So after President Trump and then President Kanye West after him, then it's President Luis Guzman. That's where we're headed, right?
No, man. I'm heading to a beach in Miami.
All right. That sounds good, too.
And I'm going to see what floats up on the beach. No.
The Code Black airs Wednesday night. That's tonight at 10 on CBS. And Narcos is available now, streaming on Netflix. Great stuff. Luis, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys. Be well.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Motocross legend Brian Deegan joins us just after 9 o'clock here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's actually looking for a little help from the Kevin and Bean listeners. So stick around for that. See what we can do for Brian. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
That's the correct answer.
Right.
10 points for Kevin.
Okay, good.
He, of course, has now left us. How long has it been since Kurt's been gone?
Boy, that's a good question.
Well, it was 94. So 21 years?
Wow, it's crazy. The movie Montage of Heck, of course, a great documentary, including some unheard, up to that point, music from Kurt, some demos, some early versions of his most famous work, some covers of stuff that no one had heard before. All that is going to be released now in a soundtrack to Montage of Heck, the home recordings of Kurt Cobain. And one of the singles a lot of people are talking about, it's going to be released as a single tomorrow, but we've got a little taste of it, is a cover of the Beatles song And I Love Her, which is sort of a odd combination. Kurt Cobain doing a sort of straight cover of a Beatles song. A lot of people are talking about it. If you haven't heard it yet, I wanted to play a little piece of it because it's pretty interesting to hear some early Kurt Cobain, never heard before. Here he is doing the Beatles And I Love Her.
Cheers. Oh my God. Cheers. Let's get some shiz. Let's get some shiz. These shiz rule.
He took some creative
these
license.
These shiz suck.
What's that mean? I said he really took some creative license with that Beatles.
Kurt was very interested in shoes early in his career.
Fashion forward, really.
Yeah.
Here you go.
She gives me everything tenderly.
Yes.
Pretty straightforward. So all you kids sitting in your bedrooms strumming your acoustic guitar, singing Beatles songs, you could be Kurt Cobain. It's the important thing to remember. You probably will be.
All of you.
All of you. Congratulations on this day. The day you were told you could be Kurt Cobain. Twin Peaks is coming back on Showtime. We're very excited. Cast list is starting to leak out little by little. We're finding out the new members of the cast to the rebooted Twin Peaks. It is still the story of Agent Dale Cooper. Kyle MacLachlan is returning for another trip down a weird, weird road there in Twin Peaks, Washington State. Summer of 2017 is when we're going to see it.
What?
Too long to wait.
2017?
You heard me.
What? Are they waiting for the rest of the cast to die too?
Now, come on.
Come on.
Why
is
that? You don't
get to it.
Added to the cast, Peter Sarsgaard.
Oh,
gonna be in the cast.
Yeah.
That's good, right?
I'm sorry. Yes, that sounds good.
You're like creepy Sheeby.
I know. That was a lot.
Mommy Likey, is that what's happening down
Mommy
there?
Mommy Likey.
Balthazar Getty and Amanda Seyfried have all signed on to participate. Nice. So the right. cast gets better and better. If we wait till 2018, maybe we'll get like Kevin Spacey or something. Let's just wait and see who else we get.
Keep Ralph, I got to tell you, I'm very excited about the Twin Peaks reboot, and I saw the first promo for it that I have seen during the season premiere of Homeland this week. It is a little tiny, just a little tiny teaser of the dwarf, the backwards talking dwarf guy.
Oh, was it Brad teaser. Williams?
Was it Brad Williams
on his hoverboard?
Original guy.
I will be enjoying. Come and come see me selling tickets.
It was so cool to see him again. That's all.
I have a new role in Chris Van Gett movie. Wouldn't it be great if he got the role as the new midget?
That would be great.
Because that guy can't still be around, right? He was like 100 years old when he was in the first one.
Well, they had him in the promo.
Well, they need a new midget.
Ralph has spoken.
Put the midget signal up in the sky. let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Amber West plays Maxine on The Carmichael Show. She's 29 years old today. Holland Rodden, Lydia on Teen Wolf, is 29. Sean and Aaron Ashmore, the acting Ashmore boys, is 36. Tim Minchin turns 40 years old today. Radiohead singer Tom York, 47. Tony Braxton's 48. Simon Cowell celebrates his 56th birthday. John Mellencamp. We just found out this week he's dating Christie Brinkley, 64 years old. Well done, John Mellencamp.
Bean doesn't approve.
No, I know.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
You don't get to judge.
I'm just saying, sometimes
in what world does it matter if you like it or not?
And what is offensive about that coupling, by the way?
I told you yesterday.
Yeah, you think he smells. That's what you thought. That's what you said.
He seems cranky.
It was based
cranky.
On your feeling that John Mellencamp smells.
He just seems all cranky and creepy, and Christy Brinkley deserves somebody light and fun. Just doesn't seem like a good match.
Brinkley feelings.
What is happening?
I do. I have Christy Brinkley feelings. Thank you.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Not to mention, John Mellencamp's going to bring all those diseases to Christy Brinkley and ruin her economy. You know, they should bring it easily. Just send like one of his kids over there first to see how she handles the Mellencamp influence.
Right. Once you open up Christy Brinkley's borders, you got to be careful what gets in. That's
you
all.
Mental case. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are we're not good, Kevin, as you know.
Correct.
Not a lot to recommend us as either broadcasters or humans, but I have to tell you, I'm really feeling underwhelmed here today by our accomplishments. When we go right from talking to UFC champ Daniel Cormier a minute ago to another champion on the line, our friend Brian Deegan, motocross legend, off-road champion, rally car gold medalist, and the founder of the Metal Militia, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Brian?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Sounds like you spent some time in Barbados. Is that fun?
Yeah, it was nice. A good little getaway there. It's always good when the races end up in places like that. You know, it's kind of a cool paid vacation, I guess.
I picture you with the lifestyle that you lead and going all over the world and doing all the things that you do. You look at the schedule and you go, ooh, Barbados. Because then the next time you look at the schedule, you go, oh, Houston. You know, I mean, just wherever you go, wherever you have to go, right?
Yeah, you know, I go from the landfill in Reno to all the way to the beaches of Barbados. So.
Well, listen, we wanted to have you on. We always love talking about what you're doing, in racing. But we wanted to have you on for something a little more personal this time around because you somehow have been involved in – you were called out on a GoFundMe page. That seems pretty serious, and you're doing a lot to help, and we want to add to that help. Can you tell us what's going on with the Help Jesse campaign on GoFundMe?
Yes, we were, I was on Facebook, and actually I started getting hit up with all these messages, and I mean, overwhelming. It was not hundreds, it was like thousands of people tagging me on this message of this kid that wanted to go ride with me. And so we contacted the family, and I guess the 4-year-old named Jesse, who has brain cancer, and, you know, has been in for surgery, and you know, he's going through tough times. You know, he's a big fan, and asked if he could come ride with us. And I thought, well, for sure, we got to make this happen. And we, you know, brought him down. You know, we were able to get him down here and come ride with us and the guys, all the militia guys, and you know, spent a day hanging out and you know, got to know his family. And I was it's crazy. It's so close to home because the guy, you know, the family is just like, you look at them and they're like, that could be you. You know, I have a 5-year-old, I have a 9-year-old, I have a 14-year-old. And you just look at the kids and you're just like, man, you just like, what can I do to make this kid's life better? And that's kind of, the situation that we've got, put in front of us. And we're trying to make the best of it, brought him to the rally races. And then, you know what, we're like, we got a GoFundMe account for him that's, do it for Jesse. And it's in my link in my bio on my Instagram. So you just go on there, click on there, and we built Instagram for him also, which was Do It For Jesse. You just click the link and you go there, and I've already raised almost $20,000 for him, so it's been awesome.
And this is what? This is for the treatment that he needs?
Absolutely, yeah, for the treatment and going through something like that, the family, as far as working and spend the time at the hospital and, all that costs, a lot of money. I know this family already on, it's tough for them to do this, so it's, any bit helped them big time, and they've been super grateful. And it's, it's just been a cool deal to really help him out. And, I know they didn't expect any of this. They just wanted him, the son to be able to get to ride with us and hang out and make a memory. And, I just thought, man, there's been blessed with so much. I'm like, there's so much more we can do than just, go riding with him. So,
that is, it's so incredibly sweet and generous of you, Brian. It really is. And we put the link up on all the Kevin and Bean and K-Rock social media as well. So the link is super easy to find if you want to contribute to help Jesse. And I want to go back to something else you said, Brian, that I think is really worth mentioning. I don't think there is anybody out there who either hasn't been directly or indirectly touched by someone because of cancer. I mean, it is so widespread, and you're absolutely right. I mean, if you've got a healthy day, and you look at your kids and they're healthy today, That's just sheer luck, right? It's just sheer. It could be anybody talking or anybody listening to this interview right now. It could just as easily be you, and that's what's so devastating and so scary about that disease.
Absolutely, there's so many people affected by it, and you got to look like a healthy day is a good day, right? I mean, everyone's like, man, I had a bad day at work, or things didn't go my way, or this, that. You look at look at the 4-year-old that has cancer. You're just like, man, that's it. Like, life, when it's healthy, life's good, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's just a way to look at life like that. It changes the perspective for everything. And, I just want to be there to help him and help others, everyone else who's affected by this. And, life's short, you want to make the best of it.
It's so funny to hear you of all people, a guy who has made a living basically getting as close to death as possible, talking about how important health is.
Well, once you have kids, your whole perspective changes. When I was younger, I didn't think I'd live to see 40. I was kind of like living on the edge, and action sports and X Games, and now you have kids. Now I want to be there to help the kids and see the kids grow up.
Right on. Well, as Brian mentioned, Brian Deegan here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the general himself. You can go to any of his social media or Kevin and Bean social media, or if you just want to remember, help Jesse on GoFundMe. By the way, you said $20,000. Listen to this, Brian. You'll be happy to know. You're up over $24,000 right now.
Awesome, man. Yeah. And it jumps quick. And that just makes me feel good, because usually social media can be used for negative. And this is time it's really showing that it can be used for a positive,
That's great. Well, you're doing so much to raise awareness for this case, and we obviously wish Jesse and his family all the best. He's only 4 years old with a cancerous brain tumor. He's already had 2 surgeries. He's undergoing chemotherapy right now. And help us on the Kevin and Bean Show, along with Brian Deegan, get Jesse the money that he needs to go through this very tough time. Brian, we love you, man. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Play it.
Yes, At the Go-Go. That's performed by The Jackets.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of the Sunset Strip, I once had a club on the Sunset Strip called Rodney Bingenheimer's English Disco.
You had mentioned that?
There's so many stories that can go on forever.
Tell
us
some.
Please don't.
But
there's
one of the, tell us some. I've had different bands play there. I had Iggy Pop and the Stooges played, Zolar X. And this next artist I'm about to play played on Friday night.
The Groovlers?
Every now and then.
The Groovlers?
His name was Smokey.
Oh, Smokey.
He had Randy Rhoads as his guitarist and Kelly Gaines from Quiet Riot. Of course, Randy Rhoads, from Ozzy's band and stuff.
Right. Where do I know Smokey
Randy's
from?
No longer with us. Mm-hmm. But Smokey used to come in there and play.
Right. He's not in a rush.
So his singles. One time Elton John came in, hung out in the VIP booth.
Sure.
And Smokey actually sold him his 45. Wow. He had his own 45 on the S&M Records label.
S&M, really?
Produced by...
Dominatrix?
E.J. Simmons.
Oh, E.J.
So Smokey would play, and then people would dance around.
Okay, we actually have showbiz.
When Smokey sings.
It was pretty happening. He never put out an album until just recently. What? The album finally came
Smokey
out.
Smokey finally released an album?
CD and vinyl.
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
it's called Smokey, How Far Will You Go? The S&M Recordings, 1973.
It's a long title for Smokey.
1981.
We're out of time, Rodney. We got.
This is the song.
This from Smokey. The next song.
All right.
And
listen.
I first one on the air at K Rock.
Is this the one Elton John bought though?
And it got some reviews and some of the
just some reviews. Neither fanzines. Good nor bad.
Fast Freddy used to write about it.
Oh, Fast Freddy.
Different people.
Yeah.
His name was Smokey.
Okay,
and this
got
is
it.
Him.
Smokey. Understand Smokey.
Doing the song. He used to play at the English Disco.
Got it.
Called Leather. And here it is.
Right. We don't have time to hear the song. I'm sorry, Ron. We're out here with the show.
The intro ate up all our Smokey time.
That was pretty sweet. That was fairly exhausting, though, wasn't it?
Smokey died during that intro. Sadly, he never got to hear his song on Rodney's English Disco bandwagon, wherever he's gone.
I think that was it.
Imagine at one point in your life, you are at your own club on the Sunset Strip, and Elton John's sitting next to you in your VIP booth, and David Bowie's over there, and maybe John and Yoko stop by for a cocktail, and you're chitting and you're chatting, and now you're there, that guy, doing that thing. What are you saying? What's your
what
point?
Gets that, you out of bed in the morning? Ralph is saying his life is better now than it was then.
Right.
I don't that's what think I would, that's what he was saying at all. No, was, yeah, at all. It's opposite, no, really.
Look,
yeah.
Rodney loves rock and roll. And he is...
Does he put another dime in the jukebox, baby?
I think he is fueled by the memories of the great things that he's been able to experience through his long and illustrious career. And I think he's just as excited about records as
so
he was.
So he looks
as a
around
kid.
On Sunday night and goes, woo! Yeah!
Living the
excited.
Dream. I think he's just excited to share music that he's passionate about with his audience.
And I think both of them are very appreciative that he does it.
Wow.
Hey.
Right, Rod?
Right.
Wait a
minute.
Yeah. Anyway, listening to Rodney on the Rock.
All right, listen.
I got to tell you, I actually went to Clifton's Cafeteria opening
night. Don't have time
night.
For another story. Yeah.
On Thursday.
All right, brand new clip.
Wow, you got to check it out.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that was a place, I guess, back in the 30s or 40s where Walt Disney used to hang out there, and that's where he was inspired to make Disneyland.
Uh-huh.
Clifton's Cafeteria in downtown L.A.
Yeah.
It's on
wake up, Ralph.
Broadway.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Pretty amazing.
Is it?
And it's all these rooms you can get lost in. There's a castle
Ralph,
in
come
there.
Back, Ralph.
Ralph,
it's just amazing. The old food, cafeteria style.
Ralph, come
it's
back.
It's free to get
hey.
In. You got to pay for the food.
He's just telling
and they
a
have
quick,
all these
quick
bars
story.
And
wait, it's free to get in, but you have to pay for the food? Like most places.
There's a sneaky bar there, and there's all this stuff to see. Rivers going through.
What?
This is a forest section.
What? A forest,
forest
check it out.
Section?
It's a big write-up in today's L.A. Times calendar section.
I thought it was a cafeteria.
Check it out.
I think they redid it.
You won't
it.
Regret it.
We won't regret it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bring Ralph back in. Rodney's
Ralph!
Done. Come on. Ralph. All right. We're just going to wait for him.
Cranky.
Time for the showbiz. God damn it. We want to hear some showbiz.
He's not coming back.
Come on, Garmin.
Come on, man.
Do you blame him?
Not at all, but...
Right.
Play another one.
Yes, yeah. I've had it. Anyway, that's Litter Critters for you there. Doing I've Had It, originally done by the Royals and covered by Fanny. And I heard the original today at Denny's Coffee Shop.
Oh.
They play the coolest 60s music.
Do they?
Right. At the Denny's Diner in Hollywood.
Okay.
That's all you hear. It's amazing.
Right. It is amazing.
Litter Critters. That's...
Right.
Krista Collins from Woolly Bandits.
He's
and
just
Moto
saying
Bunny.
Words.
I've had it.
Hey, she said Woolly Bandits and Moto Bunny, Allie. How dare you?
6.7 K-Rock, K-O-Q. You listen to Rodney on the Rock right here. That was always been my very favorite Blondie song.
We didn't play Blondie.
In the Sun from Blondie off the very first Blondie album.
Okay.
And to this day, Blondie never does that song
right.
live in concert. They used to. We used to do that when they played the Starwood and the Whiskey A Go-Go and stuff. And I remember Jenny Lenz took these pictures of Blondie when she did that song, and it Debbie Harry's dress flew up, and then Debbie was really mad when that picture was, was printed.
It's crazy.
But anyway, that's a song that they never do live for some odd reason. It's a great song. In the Sun, Blondie.
In the Sun, Blondie.
Here's a new song from Polyphonic Spree. They have a new album out.
The who?
Polyphonic Spree.
There it is. Ralph's not coming back, man.
No.
It doesn't sound
like 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. That's brand new from The Verb, all the original members.
Nope.
The Verb doing Love is the Noise. And that was really good, too. I like that from them. And that's truly Kat's group there. Now, what Kat has to do, she has to play on her show. She's got to play Buck Brothers or Parka. Well, those are my bands. And then Airborne Toxic Event is her band, and I played her band, so it's only fair that she plays a Rodney band on her show.
I didn't know that was Kat
Corbett.
That's how it works, man.
She literally discovered this band we're about to play. They're called the Airborne Toxic Event. Toxic Event. And they're going to be at Bordner's tomorrow night.
All right.
Hollywood.
It's Bordner's.
It's going to be a good show.
Okay.
And whenever you go to their shows, they give out these CDs.
All right.
It's like a three CD set with a lot of songs on them.
There we go.
So you got to check out. Here's one of the bands. If you saw the album cover, you can imagine that girl on the cover.
I've been listening to this all day.
And the single of Standing Next to Me has the same girl.
Right.
Pretty amazing.
All right.
Looking moment. You should check it out.
Right, okay.
And I kind of found out what her name was, but it didn't have her name. Okay. I thought it was Kate Moss, but it's not.
It's not that, right? Name all the people, it's not.
It's got a web page. His name is Sam Hopkins.
Okay,
check
Sam
out
Hopkins.
The girl on the Last Shadow Puppet. She's quite amazing.
All right, let's talk about tomorrow.
7:30. Get there early.
Right.
We
are
going to be there. Cosmo Topper. Name it, all the cool bands, top bands, each the 30-minute set.
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Or tonight.
Yes.
Today. Oh, tonight at Monday.
Wait, tomorrow, anyway, today, or tonight? Which is it?
Unusual music, but it's good. I love it. Right, play the newest of the new.
Okay.
And flashbacks of the flashbacks.
We have
coming up. They're going to be playing.
Hey, Roddy's playing the flashbacks of the flashbacks,
K-Rock
Kevin.
Going to be there. It'll be a K-Rock night.
All right.
Coming up.
All right.
Wow,
tomorrow
just made it back from Canner's. I go to Canner's just about every night around 10:45.
Could you go now?
Right. Great all-night deli on Fairfax.
Mm-hmm. It's just new penny feathers.
Every night. Get there early. There's food there. It's all ages. So come on
down. Restaurant.
Okay,
other bands are playing right now.
I thought we were done.
Actually, my dolls were on earlier.
I felt like he
drove
was winding
by
down.
On the way
yeah.
here.
You felt wrong.
I stuck my head out the car window, and I could kind of hear him playing.
So the he sticks his head out the curb.
Missing them at Canner's. I come to Canner's and I keep
you keep a bowl of water in the back seat for me?
You got to catch me at a certain time. That's when you can
you
find me.
Evil.
And I love you.
I don't want to interrupt Roddy, but we really do have to go. We're out of time.
That's Love, featuring Arthur Lee, lead singer of Love. And he didn't write that. Burt Bacharach wrote that
song.
Please stop. Arthur Lee wrote most all the songs that Love did.
Guys, I think I'm leaving too.
Anyway, that was My Little Red Book by Arthur Lee.
I think I'm walking out.
That was a song that Jim Morrison heard on
the radio. Talking about pigeons.
We got to sound like that.
Right.
And in fact, it was Arthur Lee.
Arthur Lee, right.
That actually booked the Doors.
Okay, I'm going to go now.
To open for them when Love headlined the Whiskey A Go Go. And Arthur Lee brought the Doors to
Atlantic
Records and got them signed.
Okay. Tomorrow morning,
what I'll say, maybe the people will be the times between Clark and Hilldale.
Right.
That's the street off Sunset Boulevard where the Whiskey A Go Go is or was. It's still there, but not the same.
New internet roundup tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Remember one time. I had David Cassidy
talk to Jim Rome about sports,
and Bobby Gillespie of Primal Scream on my show.
Dr. Drew.
We got a phone call from Arthur Lee. He called in and we spoke to him. And Bobby Gillespie was on acid. He was on kind of on LSD.
Tickets for the Cure at the Hollywood Bowl.
It blew Bobby Gillespie's mind, basically.
Exactly,
my idol, Arthur Lee. When I was a kid, I was in the 4-H club and I raised pigeons. I had these like classic pigeons, and so did Arthur Lee.
Exactly, by tomorrow,
pigeons
heroes.
As well. He raised them, and we talked about all these like really rare pigeons.
Thank you, Roddy. We gotta go.
They're like They're called Russian fan-tailed pigeons.
Sir.
They look like little tiny miniature turkeys, but they were pigeons.
They weren't miniature
turkeys.
And
Arthur had those, too. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the old days, and we talked about how I was addicted to Diet Right Cola and sunflower seeds when
those are the worst.
First came to Hollywood as
a kid. You get addicted to that, man.
So anyway,
no going back.
Bobby Gillespie and Arthur Lee were talking.
Yeah, we have to go now,
we somehow managed to get together with a band from Santa Barbara called Citrus Groove. So Arthur Lee got together with Bobby Gillespie from Primal Scream and Citrus Groove.
And that's the end of my story. Bye-bye.
This song, one of his songs, Arthur Lee's songs from Love, Flash on You. And here it is.
Yes.
Rare. Anyway, there's...
It
was over from the feeling. Really good.
All right, we got to go.
Anyway, I thought it was over, too, with the phone.
Right?
Let's try one more time with Lisa. Hello, Lisa. No, it's still not working. I could hear that weird breathing.
Phone trouble. All right, Rodney, we got to go, seriously.
Oh, that's really sad.
All right. Zach Levi, Jim Rome, Dr. Drew. Internet Roundup.
We hold the phone up to the mic.
Cure.
I hold
the phone
everybody.
Up to the mic.
Well, anyway, we don't have Lisa, but I do have some of the songs and
all
the charts.
Okay.
So I'll read off the songs.
All right. We
Let's see. We got...
Seriously. No, seriously.
Number one, we got the Ting Tings.
All right, the Ting Tings, right?
Anyway, let's hear the number one song in England from... Ting Tings, That's Not My Name.
Right.
Courtesy of Lisa with London Calling.
Right, okay. All right, thank you, Rodney. We have to go.
Johnny got accepted for a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Johnny Grant called and had been accepted.
I seriously am leaving.
Thank all the K-Rock listeners who participated and the people that helped out with that. And even the morning show on the Kevin and Bean show.
Yeah, right, see?
They helped out with that as well.
Yes, we did.
I want to say thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
I'm going to make it up to you. And when I do my anniversary show, I'm going to play my first interview ever on the Rodney and the Rock show. And that's with the Ramones. I'll be doing that end of August. Ramones interview, the Sex Pistols, and a few others, end of August, my anniversary show. So we'll be getting the Hollywood star
Cat's next.
And the Hollywood Walk of Fame next year,
the
07. That's a good number, isn't it?
Sure.
07.
I think Cat
anyway,
even left.
And as you know, K-Rock, you know, is going to do this big party when I get the star on Hollywood Boulevard, Walk of Fame. There's going to be a huge party that day. It won't be until next year.
Right.
But one of the bands I want to get to play at the party want to be the Donnas.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens. You never know.
All right. Are you done?
What happened to Amy Winehouse?